ज्ञानते भक्ति वेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने सरस्वति देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya 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 Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda 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 Govinda, 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 Govinda. Govinda, 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 Govinda. Gopala, 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 Gopala. Gopala, 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 Gopala. Gopala, 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 Gopala. Govinda, 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 Govinda. Gopala, 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 Gopala. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari 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 Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya ಜಯ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ 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 ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಕುಲ ನಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಕುಲ ನಂದ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಕುಲ ನಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಕುಲ ನಂದ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಕುಲ ನಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಕುಲ ನಂದ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮಣ ಹನುಮಾನ್ 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 ಜಯ ಗೌರ ನಿತಾಯ 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 जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय प्रभु पदा 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 प्रभुपा 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 जय जय प्रभुपा
जय शुपाल परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय नितिनीला प्रविष्टो विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Sarasudevam Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Pashatya Deshadarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह्य गृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःख शमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतस् चार्तेषु अभिज्ञस्वराळ् तेने ब्रह्म हृद य आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरयाः तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैधवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद् अवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पदरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदा भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्युदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवै तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमाम। यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतम् अपेतकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरम् आजुहावाम्। पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धम्। संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल्। कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणु कुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि। नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिकथोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमदिराधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। So last Sunday we were discussing this 68th chapter of the 10th canto where excuse me, where we saw that Samba, Krishna's son, wanted to go to to Hastinapur and participate in the Swayamvaram ceremony. Swayamvaram means the Kshatriya princes those days, they had the freedom to choose their husbands in an arranged assembly where all the other princes will be present, and the princess will be given, the bride is given an opportunity to select the husband at the in that process. So Samba decided to go to Hastinapur. Samba went to Hastinapur from Dwaraka, and in Hastinapur, in the assembly of so many princes, Samba decided to force. Samba decided to force Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana, to marry him. So in the process of that, Duryodhana got very upset, and also all the other Kauravas, namely Karna, who was present there, and also Duryodhana's brothers, Dushasana and so on, so many others got upset with that, and they decided to decided to attack Sambha and tie him down, which they did. So that is where we stopped last Sunday. So continuing from there, that is verse 12 from the 68th chapter, you will see where it says there that Tambadva viradhi kritriya krishrena kuravo yudhi kumaram sosyakanyam cha subhuram jaino vishan. Duryodhana and others, with a lot of effort, they managed to defeat Sambha and tie him down. They destroyed his chariot, and not only that, Sambha and Lakshmana together, they took him to the palace. And Duryodhana was very pleased now that Sambha has been controlled. Tachrutva naradoktena rajan sanjadamanyava kurun pratyudhyamam chakru ugrasena prajodidaha. At that point, Sri Narada Maharshi was present there, and Narada Muni could not wait anymore. He decided to go and report the matter straight to Krishna in Dwaraka. So he immediately proceeded to Dwaraka to let Krishna and Balaram know what has happened in Hastinapur. So there it says, Kurun pratyudhyamam chakro ugrasena prajodidaham. Ugrasena was the king in Dwaraka. So as soon as the information received in Dwaraka that Sambha has been arrested by Duryodhana, in the marriage ceremony, Ugrasena got very upset, and he told all the Yadavas to get ready for the war. They decided to invade Hastinapur. Sandvayitva dunan Rama sannadhan mrishni pungavan naichal kurunam mrishni nam kalim kalimalavaham. That at that point Krishna was also ready to go. Krishna was also in a mood to go, and because Krishna had the future plans with Duryodhana, what to do with him. Mahabharat war, Krishna thought, I will not wait till then. I'll finish it right now. Why to wait till the Mahabharat war to happen? So Krishna also started getting ready to go to Hastinapur. It was then that when he was ready to go to, with all the soldiers going to go to Hastinapur, Lord Balaram thought that, after all, Duryodhana is my disciple, isn't it? He has taught the club fighting technique to Duryodhana. So he thought that he should interfere himself. And he told Krishna that there is no need for Krishna to go now. After all, Duryodhana will listen to me. This was Balaram's thinking. Balaram thought that after all, Duryodhana was my student. So naturally, he will listen to me if I go and talk to Duryodhana. Thinking that, Balaram put an end of Krishna going to Hastinapur as well as his soldiers. Instead, Balaram took a few brahmanas with him and also the minister Uddhava and some sages. They all together traveled to Hastinapur. They are arriving in Hastinapur. Jagama Hastinapuram Radhen Aditya Varchasa Brahmanai Kulavruddhaischa Vrudaschandramivagrahai. Then when they arrived in Hastinapur, Balaram looked very effulgent, and also Balaram was ready to speak to them directly. Brahmanas were there, and some old people also from Dwaraka came along to negotiate with Duryodhana and to make him realize that the situation is very, very serious. Gatva gajahvayam ramo bahyo bhavanam astidaha uddhavam prashayamasa dhritarashtram bubulsayam. Then Hastinapuram, Balaram arrived in Hastinapuram. Balaram thought that it is not proper for me to enter into Hastinapuram because I have come with a mission from Ugrasena, the king Ugrasena. And because I come with a mission, I will rather stay outside the city limits. Saying this, he stayed outside in a garden and waited there. And in order to know what is the opinion of Dhritarashtra is Duryodhana's father, what is their way of thinking, what they want to do about this, he decided to send Uddhava to Dhritarashtra. Gatva gajahvayam ramo bahyo bhavanam astidaha uddhavam prashayamasa dhritarashtram bubulsaya. Sobhivanyambiga putram bhishmam dronanja bahliyam duryodhananja vidival ramam agadam abravil. That when Uddhava went to the palace and saw Dhritarashtra, Uddhava told everyone present there, particularly Drona, Bhishma and other elderly Kauravas who are present there, told them that Lord Balaram has arrived and is waiting in the garden outside. Tevi pridastam agarnya praptam ramam sukurtamam tamarayit samachaitva abhyayu sarve mangalapanayam. They were all very pleased to hear that Balaram had come, and they actually received Uddhava very nicely, being representative from Dwaraka, and they took a lot of gifts and everything, and they went to see Balaram. In order to receive him, they went into the outskirts of the city, in the garden where Balaram was camping.
Tam sangam yathanyayam gamarkhyam chanivedayan tesham ye tal prabhavajna prane ushirasabalam.
That when they arrived to see Balaram, Balaram was in a very, very serious mood. They went up to him, but somehow they paid their obeisances according to their, although Bhishma, Drona and many others who were present there, they paid their obeisances and obviously offered the different gifts they have brought with them, particularly cows and coconuts, flowers, betel leaves and other things, other worshipable articles they offered to Lord Balaram. Then every one of them who knows very well about Balaram's position started paying their respects by paying their complete obeisances, full obeisances to Lord Balaram.
Bandhun kushalina shrutva prishtva shivamanamayam parasparamatho ramo bhabhashe viklavam vachaham.
That they inquired about the members of the family of the Yadus who are present in Dwaraka about their welfare with Lord Balaram. After all this exchange of the welfare of the family members was over, Balaram became very, very serious and started speaking to them in a very grave tone.
Ugrasena kshidishesho yajnacha ajnabayat prabhu tadavyagradiya shrutva kurudvam mahavilambidam.
That I have come with a particular mission, and King Ugrasena had sent a message for you. I am going to give this to you. Please listen to this very carefully. Lord Balaram said,
yad yuvayam bhavasvegam jitva dharmena dharmigam abadhita tanmrishye bandhuna amaikya kamyaya.
That, first of all, Ugrasena is saying like this, what you have done to Samba is very, very unfair thing. He was alone and no one else with him. So, alone he was, and you have decided all together to fight with him, which is against the principles of fighting. So that was the number one mistake. Secondly, you have cheated him by destroying his bow and arrow from behind, and he was helpless without any weapon in his hand. It is in that condition that you decided to arrest him and took him off from there, and you have imprisoned him after that. Then, at this point in time, because you are related to us, Kauravas were related to the Yadavas through Kunti Devi. So they were saying that because you are related to us, Ugrasena has tolerated what you have done to us.
Virya shaurya balon nadham atma shakti samam vacha kuravo baladevasya nishamyoju pragobidaham.
Then Balaram does not give up easily. He said that he has enough strength and energy and enthusiasm to fight the war. Therefore Balaram spoke very firm with a lot of determination. And Balaram should speak like this according to his position. But when the Kauravas heard this, they didn't like it. They took it very offensive from Balaram to say like this.
Aho mahachitramidam kalagatya duratyaya ayurukshatyabanal vai shiro mukutasevidam.
That the Kauravas started talking to each other like this. What a strange thing to talk. Balaram is saying like this, that he does not even understand the world very well. He says that time has come, now the shoes have started sitting on the head, they say. In other words, the shoes has its places at the feet, not on the head. But now, these people, the Yadavas, they are thinking themselves to be so powerful, and at the same time, they have started now talking to us on an equal terms, and all these things has upset the Kauravas very much. Kauravas' point was that the Yadavas at one time, Yadavas are led by Krishna and Balaram, they were cowherd boys. Although they come in the dynasty of Yadu, as if you remember in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this story was discussed, how Yadu was told that he will never become a king, nor anyone who follows in that tradition. So Yadu was told that King Yadu will never get an opportunity to become a king. And Krishna and Balaram, they come in that succession, in their family members. Therefore, the Yadavas, they are called. So Yadu or Yadu's family should never become a king.
they have been barred from becoming a king, and they are no more considered as Kshatriyas because of this. So they were in the sense that they were told that in no instance that they will be equal to the Kauravas. Kauravas were saying, Duryodhana particularly were saying that because of their position as Kshatriyas and belonging to the royal family, and they are the emperors at that time, they did not accept this message from Ugrasena very nicely. They got very upset about that, and that is what they said.
Ede yaunena sambadda sahasaya sanashana vrishnayastulyadam mida asmaddattanrupasanaham.
Then Duryodhana says that how come this kind of speech is coming, this kind of talk is coming from Ugrasena? After all, the only relationship we have with them is that Kunti Devi was married to Vasudev, and she has gone there from our family. And because of this relationship, they are now started talking to us on an equal terms. And not only that, we have given them all the facilities. They didn't have a place to eat, a place to live, and no food to eat. And we have respected them and gave them some facilities. But now they are talking to us on an equal terms. And this is our own mistake, they started saying, the arrogance in Duryodhana's heart.
Chamaravyajane shankhamada vatram cha panduram kirida vasanam shayam bunjadyastadubayakshayaha.
Then, strictly speaking, these Yadavas have no authority to wear any royal emblems on their in their dress or anything. They are not kings, actually speaking. But not only that, but now they have got all the decorations of a royal family, and they are talking to us also as though they are members of some aristocratic royal families.
Alam yadunam naradeva lanchaneyam dadu pradibai faninami vavrudam e asmal prasado obachida hi yadava ajnabayam yadyagadatra babadam.
Then Duryodhana is saying there that if you give this milk to the snake will bite back. And these Yadus, they have become opulent because we have fed them all these things. All these facilities we offered them. And now they are biting back on us. That they have started instructing us what we should do and what we should not. Look at their arrogance. Duryodhana is saying like this. And they do not have any shame at all in talking to us in this way.
Katham indro bikurubhir bhishmadrona arjuna adhibi adattham avarundidam simhagrastam iva oranaham.
Then Bhishma, Drona and others, and other Kauravas who are present there, they have not given even Indra this position, that you cannot, a lamb cannot take the position of a lion and speak like this. And how can the Yadavas come up to us and talk to us in this way?
Shri Shukavacham Janmabandhu Shriyonadham Adaste Bharadarshava Ashravyaramam Durvachyam Asabhyam Puramavishan.
Then they spoke like this to Balaram, and without waiting for a reply from Balaram, they all went back to the palace in Hastinapur. They didn't want to hear any answer from them. They just thought that Balaram, Yadavas, Krishna and others, they are very offensive to them, and also they did not give enough respect to the Kauravas in Hastinapur. This thought came there. So you can see there, it is at this time that Sukadeva Goswami is revealing his mind about the Kauravas. If you look at that verse, what did he say?
Durvacham asabhyam puramavishan.
That they are durjanam. Durjanam means they are demoniac in their nature.
Ashravyaramam durvacham.
And look at their words, asabhyam, completely insulting to Lord Balaram, asabhyam puramavishan, and they have gone back to their places by offending Lord Balaram. You can imagine what happens if you offend Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram won't take it lightly. Lord Balaram started reflecting at this time himself. He started thinking, the original plan was for Krishna to come. And Balaram knew that if Krishna had come, Mahabharata war won't have to happen. Before that, the business will be over with Duryodhana. That was known to Balaram. But in order to save the situation, Balaram decided that let Krishna wait. I will go and see if I can negotiate with Duryodhana. After all, he is my student, and talk to him. Look at the respect of the disciple to the guru. This is what you have to see here. Duryodhana comes here, pays his obeisances, offers all the worshipable articles, and then abuses Balaram and goes back to his palace. This is the type of disciple Balaram had. So Balaram, when he heard this, then he thought that he has to do something about this. In the next verse you will find, Drishtva kurvanam daushilyam shutva vajani jachuda avojal kopa samrabdho tushpreksha prahasan muhum. That Balaram saw this misbehavior of the Kauravas and heard this offensive tone in the way they spoke and got really angry and upset with them and started in a very ridiculing tone. He started speaking like this. Uddhava was with him at that time, you have to remember. Uddhava was listened to this reaction from Balaram. Nunam nano nanamadon adha shandim ne chandya sadhava tesham hi prashamo danda pashunam lakhdo yadham. It is normal in this world when one has a lot of wealth, when one has a lot of high relationships, aristocratic relationships with others, automatically to get proud. This is the nature of the demoniac people. Then when you want to get wild animals, if you want to tame them, you have to nicely beat them, Balaram says. That similarly, the only thing I can do with these Kauravas is that I have to do something about it. And that is the only thing I'm going to apply now. He says, Balaram said this to Uddhava and asked Uddhava what we should do. Aho yadun sumsam rabdhan krishnam jakubidam shaneya sandayitva havedesham shamamichaniha gadaham. That by their activity, by arresting Samba like this, the way they have done, all the Yadavas are upset. Ugrasena Maharaja is upset. And not only that, Krishna is upset more than anybody. Krishna's son has been arrested. Earlier, if you remember, in the few chapters before, the same incident happened with Aniruddha, isn't it? Aniruddha went to Banasura's palace where he married Usha. Where Usha wanted to marry Aniruddha, and Aniruddha went and stayed with Usha. We have discussed that a few chapters before. At that time, Bana decided to arrest Aniruddha. And Krishna went there with the whole army and Satyabhama and others and took Aniruddha back from there and defeated Bana in the fight. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, why all these things are spoken, there is a reason behind it also. If you remember, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we discussed the story of Daksha Prajapati. Probably you all remember Daksha Prajapati's story. Daksha was a very, very powerful Prajapati progenitor. Now this Daksha, what he has done, somehow or the other in his mind, a tremendous hate developed towards Lord Shiva. That was his problem. A tremendous hate developed in his Lord Shiva. And he started thinking, Lord Shiva and all his devotees are all offensive and they should be criticized and condemned. So in that great sacrifice, the fourth canto is one of the most important incident what has happened in that great sacrifice of the Dakshayagam, Daksha ceremony. In that ceremony, Daksha offended Lord Shiva severely. What was the result? The result was Daksha's head was gone. Isn't it? Daksha's head was gone. And for a long time, from the sacrificial arena, some of the brahmanas took a goat's head and put it on Daksha's head instead. So Daksha was walking around with his goat's head for a long time. And in order to bring Daksha back to the normal life again, Lord Brahma had to go to see Lord Shiva and ask for forgiveness on behalf of Daksha. If you remember that story of Daksha Prajapati in the fourth canto. So there what happened was, Daksha offended Lord Shiva and got that result. With Bana, the problem was the other way. Bana's problem was, he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He couldn't accept any devotee of Vishnu against the Vaishnavas. That was his problem. So Bana took up this attitude that anyone who is not a devotee of Lord Shiva, he will not accept them. He considers them to be demoniac. So Bana's nature was, his attitude towards Vaishnavas, to Vishnu's devotees, was also offensive. The result was Bana had to be brought under control. But by nature, Bana was not a bad person. Bana was a devotee of Lord Shiva, but the pride and ego and arrogance in him was so high. That was Bana's problem. So Krishna removed that arrogance, and eventually, being the son of Mahabali, Krishna allowed Aniruddha to marry Usha, Bana's daughter, and Bana was pleased by Lord Shiva's mercy, Krishna's mercy at that time, and Bana was protected like that. So because Lord Shiva interfered on behalf of Bana and asked Krishna to protect him because he was so dear to him, that Krishna agreed, and then Bana was not killed in that fight. So there it was the other way the problem was from Bana. So like this, in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that offenses are committed. And offenses are committed and that upsets the Supreme Personality, Krishna. When Krishna is upset, the reactions comes one after the other. In one way or the other, it happens. So here also you will see that our Samba had gone there. And Samba wanted to marry Lakshmana. If Duryodhana on the other, Lakshmana also married Samba, seeing Samba's courage to come up to Lakshmana and held her hand and asked her to put the garland on himself. And as soon as Samba did this, Lakshmana thought, this is not a bad person who has got so much courage. When so many big kings and princes were sitting there in the middle, someone could come like this and force me to marry him. He must be not an ordinary person. This is what Lakshmana thought. So Lakshmana went with Samba along with him. Lakshmana said, this is it. That's my choice is finished. And Lakshmana went with him. But Duryodhana got angry and acted like this. In this particular lesson, Krishna has there is an important message from Vedavyas. Bana, Dasha Prajapati and all, you could rectify by doing something. Duryodhana, you can't even rectify him. That was the problem with Duryodhana. Duryodhana's mind has become so thick and unable to think anymore further. Krishna had come, Balaram had come. He saw Krishna and Balaram as ordinary people. That was Duryodhana's problem. So when this has happened, eventually you will find here what Balaram has decided to do. That
Aho yadun susamrabdhan krishnam jakubidam shanei sandayitvahametesham shamamichanniha gadaham.
That Krishna is very upset about this. And I have pacified Krishna. I have pacified Ugrasena and Krishna. And in order to bring some peace, in order to make peace with the Kauravas, I have come here. And that was a wrong decision, Balaram is saying.
Ta ime mandamadaya kalaha bhiradha kalaha tam mamavajnaya muhur durbhashan manino bruvan.
That I wanted to make peace with these people, but they don't want any peace. They want to quarrel. This is their nature. And they are not very intelligent. They are very dull and they are demoniac. And saying this and still thinking about what should be the next action, Balaram waited for Uddhava to say something.
Nograsena kilavibhur bojavrishnyandageshwara shakradayo lokapala yasya deshanu vartinaha sudharmya akramyade yena parijado amarangriva aniya bujjade sosav nagila adhyasana arhanam.
That in these two verses, actually Sudev Goswami is saying how Balaram was getting very, very angry about this whole scene and Balaram's reply to them.
Bhojas, Vrishnis, Anthakas, they are all under the control of King Ugrasena.
And here the Kauravas are saying that he has no authority to instruct them. Not only that, Indra and all the other Lokapalas means those demigods who maintain this universe, or even those who are maintaining this universe, even though they come to the Sudharma, that is the assembly of Krishna, and report to Krishna and take his mercy. And not only that, Krishna went to the heavenly planets and brought Parijadam from there and installed that in his palace in Dwaraka. It is the situation. And then Krishna, these people are saying that he has no right to sit on the throne. Balaram was fuming at that time. Whenever you will notice this, that when Lord Balaram, when he gets upset when somebody offends Krishna and does things which are very offensive to Krishna. And that is what has happened. Balaram was so annoyed with the way they spoke about Krishna, that Krishna, who is controlling the whole creation, millions and millions of universes, that Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has sent this message, and Kauravas, who are nothing compared to Krishna's position, they were rejecting that. Look at their ignorance. That's what Balaram was saying there.
Yasya Badavigam Sakshat Shri Rupaste Akhileshwari Sanarhadigila Shri Sho Naradeva Parichadan.
That Mahalakshmi, the goddess of fortune, he lives with Krishna. And she is serving Krishna all the time. And they are saying that Krishna has no right to wear all the royal paraphernalia. That is what the Kauravas were talking about.
Yasyangri pangajara jogila logapalir maulyuttam erdradamubasita tirtha tirtham brahma bhavoham abhi yasya kala kalayaha shri shodhvahema jaramasya nrupasanam kvam.
Great demigods like Indra, when they come to see Krishna, they touch Krishna's lotus feet with their crown while they pay their obeisances to him. And they take the dust from Krishna's lotus feet, and they also, great yogis, this not even the demigods, even the great yogis, when they come there, they take the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. And what to speak about them, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, including me, I am Adishesha, myself, and Mahalakshmi, we all carry the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. And that lotus feet, Krishna, he has no right to sit on the throne of a human population. Balaram was answering back to the Kauravas. Balaram's thoughts, what he was expressing to Uddhava at this time. Because before Balaram acted, he wanted to make clear to Uddhava that he is what he is going to do. Why he is going to act, under what conditions. That's why all these things were spoken there. Balaram wanted to let Uddhava know what the next course of action is. Then he said to himself, that Balaram was saying to Uddhava, that look at their mentality, that they could not accept Krishna's instructions.
Bunjane kuribirdattham bhukhandam rishnaya kila upanahagilavayam swayam dukuravashiraham.
That Balaram was very hit by the words Duryodhana spoken. What was that? Duryodhana said that the Yadavas are the shoes and the Kurus are the head. This is the way Duryodhana has spoken. Duryodhana's words were like that. That how can the shoes sit on the head? This is what he mentioned. So in other words, the difference between the head and the shoes were known to them. Sometimes we don't know what the difference between the head and the shoes. But at that time, they were very much aware the head, what's the place for the head and what's the place for the shoes. So the shoes wants to sit on the head. This is what directly Duryodhana has mentioned. And at the same time, Balaram kept that in his mind. And he mentioned this to Uddhava.
Aho aishwarya matanam matanam ivamaninam asambhaddho giro ruksha kasahedanushasidaham.
That sometimes when people are intoxicated, when they are drunk, what will happen? They will lose all their control, sense control. And what will they do? They will think themselves to be very, very opulent. Or sometimes they will think that they are very proud and will start speaking things without any sense, isn't it? Completely without any discrimination, not knowing their own position in this world. This is the effect of the intoxication. So when people are intoxicated and when they talk, no one take it very seriously. They will say, oh, he's just drunk, you just leave him alone. That's how people will talk about that. So similarly, Balaram was saying that it looks as though they are drunk. That's the way they are talking now. Because otherwise, who is going to tolerate this, what they said? Then,
adya nishkauravim prathim karishyamityamarshidaha grihitvam halamuttastav dahanniva jagatrayam.
Saying this, Balaram got up from his place and took his plough in his hand. And that was enough. The plough he has taken in his hand. And what was the next move?
Adya nishkauravim prithim karishyam ityamarshidaha grihitva halamuttastav dahanniva jagatrayam.
See the words Sugatava Goswami has used there. Grihitva halamuttastav, holding the plough in his hand. Dahanniva jagatrayam. All the three worlds he could pull it down in one with that plough. That is how powerful Balaram is. Balaram's position we have discussed before, that the whole universe is like a mustard seed on his thousands of hoods. One mustard seed is sitting there, and that is Lord Balaram. And not knowing anything, that what is Balaram's capacity or capabilities, these Kauravas have spoken like this and gone back. So now, Dahanniva Jagatrayam, all the three worlds he could pull them down by this plough.
ലാംഗലാഗ്രേണ നഗരം ഉദ്ദിദ്വാരികജാഹ്വയം വിജകർഷസ ഗംഗായം പ്രഹരിഷന്ന മർഷിതാഹം. ഓൾ ബലറാം വാണ്ടഡ് ടു ഡു വാസ് ദ മസ്റ്റ് ബി ഫീലിംഗ് വെരി കംഫർട്ടബിൾ ഇൻ ഹസ്തിനാപൂർ. സോ വാട്ട് ഡിഡ് യു ഡു? ഹി ജസ്റ്റ് വാണ്ടഡ് ടു പുട്ട് ദ പ്ലൗ അണ്ടർനീത് ദ പാലസ് ആൻഡ് പുള്ളി ദ ഹോൾ തിങ് ഡൗൺ ഇൻ ടു ദ റിവർ. ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദി ഇന്റൻഷൻ. സോ ഹി ജസ്റ്റ് പുട്ട് ദ പ്ലൗ ദർ ആൻഡ് ആസ് സൂൺ ആസ് ഹി പുട്ട് ദ പ്ലൗ ഡൗൺ ദി ഇഫക്ട് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് ദി ഇഫക്ട് ഓഫ് ദിസ് സ്റ്റാർട്ട് ദേ സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിംഗ് ഇൻ ദി പാലസ്. Duryodhana's throne started shaking from there. And also Duryodhana at the same time, what was happening in the palace? Duryodhana and Karna, they were the two people totally responsible for this. Duryodhana says to Karna, have I spoken to Balaram properly? Karna says, yes, you have spoken the right thing. They need to be taught a lesson. This was Karna's answer to Duryodhana. But Bhishma and Drona, they were aware what the reaction could be. So, but when the whole palace started moving, immediately they didn't know what to do. Balaram's plow was gone in. Suddenly Uddhava stopped Balaram, said, if you do that, our boy is also there inside Samba. He will also fall into the river along with the whole palace. So that's not proper. Uddhava stopped Balaram. Only then Balaram came to his senses. He thought about this, Samba is also there. Before thinking that, Balaram's mood was such that he wanted to hold the whole Hastinapur down into the river and with the plow to pull it down and with the pistol to smash on it with the left hand and finish the whole palace, and the whole Mahabharata war need not have happened after that. It would have been all over with that same, with that particular smashing from Balaram. There was no need for another war later on. So that was Balaram's mood. Langalagrena sagaram uddidarigajahvayam vijagarsha sahangayam pakarishenna marushidaham. That when Balaram put the plow and started pulling, that just like sometimes the elephant keepers, the mahouts, they use this small stick to control the elephant on their ears, they started pulling here. And at that time, the elephant feels the pain very severely, and they start listening to the mahouts. So similarly, in the same mood, Balaram's this plow was doing the necessary effect on the Kauravas. Jalayanam iva akhurnam gangayam nagaram padal agrashyamanam alokyam kaurava jada sambramaham tameva sharanam jagmu sakudumba jijivisham jijivishava salashmanam puraskritya sambam pranjalaya prabhum. Then the whole thing was going to fall into to the river. And the Kauravas were getting upset in the palace. All the children, old people, everything, they all caught hold of Samba and Lakshmana, who were present there. And bringing them all together, they came back to see Lord Balaram. They immediately started to come to pay their respects to Balaram and ask for forgiveness. So, while coming to see Lord Balaram, who was coming in the front? Normally, who should have come? Duryodhana should have come, isn't it? He should have come first and paid his obeisances to Balaram. After all, it is his teacher. He is his teacher for the club fighting. And he knows that he has upset Balaram very much. But Duryodhana would not come still. Can you imagine that? The arrogance in Duryodhana's mind. Duryodhana's mind was such that he was telling Bhishma and Drona to go in the front, and he was following them behind. And so Bhishma and Drona, who are more intelligent and who knew who Lord Balaram was, they came up to see Lord Balaram, followed by Duryodhana. And when they came to see Lord Balaram, there is this next verse, you see how they addressed Lord Balaram. Rama, Rama Akhiladhara, Prabhavam Navidamade, Mudhanam Nakubuddhinam, Shandumarhasya Dikramam. Rama, addressing Rama, 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 Akhiladharam. Lord Balaram addressing to him that he is the basis of the whole creation, that he is carrying the whole universes on his hood, on his hoods, and we did not know your position. We are very stupid, and our mind is also very lacking any intelligence, and the result was that we have committed a serious offense to you, to Lord Balaram. They spoke like this to Lord Balaram. Stitulpatyapayanam tomego hedur nirashrayaha logan kridanaganisha kridadaste vadandihim.
then they started saying to Lord Balaram that this whole creation is just like toys for you. You play with this creation like the way the children play with the toys. That's your position. And what did we think about you?
Tomeva modhida mananda lilaya bhumandalam vibarshi sahasramurdhan andejaya swalpaniruddha vishwaha sheshe advidiya parishishyamanaha.
Then compare reminding Balaram or glorifying Balaram as Adishesha and also as Mahavishnu. In two positions, Balaram is glorified in that verse. They are saying to him that this whole universe is just like a mustard seed and you are carrying this on your head with a lot of ease, without any difficulty. And at the end of the devastation, you absorb everything to yourself and therefore you live in the casual ocean at that time as Mahavishnu and you lie there.
Kobaste akhila shikshartam nadvesham najamal saral vibhrado bhagavan sattvam sthiti palana talparaham.
Then your anger, what you have shown to us, is necessary for those who do not obey you and who are very offensive to you, and therefore we have to accept it like that. That because you are not angry with us for any reason, but what we know is that in order that the devotees and those who are devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they should be protected for their benefit. You are executing these pastimes. Not only that, when you really get angry, what happens is those creation is completely over. In other words, at the end of the creation, Lord Balaram has the eventual Sangarshana Murti, who is present there. From him the fire that eliminates, destroys the whole creation. That's what.
Namaste sarva bhudalpan sarva shakti dharavyaya vishwakarman namaste stu tvam vayam sharanam gadaham.
That you are the basis of the whole creation, and you protect them, you maintain them, and eventually you destroy them, and you are the basis of all this. We are taking your shelter. Bhishma, Drona, and all the Karna and Duryodhana, they were speaking to Balaram like this.
Shri Shuga Vaja, Evam Pravenne Samvigner, Evamana Nirbala, Prasadida Suprasanno, Mahabhaishte Tyabhayam Dadaum.
That as soon as they realized that Hastinapur was going to fall into the river, and they have come and started glorifying Balaram, Balaram was immediately pacified. This is Balaram. Balaram's nature is like that. Very quickly gets angry and very straightforward. And if someone goes and offers their respects to Balaram and asks for forgiveness, immediately pleased with that and forgives them also. Balaram's nature, you can see in that verse, that then the anger from great souls is not with the intention. They don't have any revenge to anybody. Actually, they get angry so that they can control, they can bring those who are very offensive and bring them back to their normal state of consciousness. Then this is what Balaram has shown in this behavior.
Duryodhana parivarham kunjaranya shashtihayinan dadau jasdwadasya shadan aidani turangaman yadhanam shalsahasrani rukmanam suryavarchasam dasinam nishkagandhinam sahasram duhidruval salaham.
That now what they have done, Bhishma and others told them to Duryodhana, bring Samba and Lakshmana first and offer them to Balaram first. First you do that. And then all the servants and servant maids to assist them so that they can go along with them to Dwaraka. Bring them all then later on. They instructed that in addition to that, chariots, 6,000 chariots which were made of gold and so many jewels and so much jewelry were offered, and thousands of servant maids and everything Duryodhana offered to Samba and Lakshmana and handed them over to Lord Balaram.
Pratigrihyadutal sarvam bhagavan satudarshabha sasuda sasnusha prayal suhurdbhi abhinandidaham.
Balaram accepted everything very happily, and with Samba and Lakshmana, they decided to travel back to Dwaraka. While going back, Balaram was thinking, one day Krishna will come. I don't have to do this business. He was thinking in his mind, Krishna will come one day and get this all together. These Duryodhana and his men. Looking at their mind, Balaram could see this, that not only that Duryodhana was a student of Balaram, that is upset Balaram that a student, what kind of student is this? If you go to the, and if someone and learn something, and then at the when there was a misbehavior like this towards the teacher, and when teacher comes to you and tells you that your behavior is not proper, Duryodhana's reaction to Balaram is something very important to note here. So therefore, Balaram said to himself and on the way back that one day Krishna will come and get them all together and finish the whole business. So I leave that to Krishna. This was Balaram's mood.
Tata pravishta subhiram halayudha samete bandhu anurakta chedasaha shashamsa sarvam yadupungavanam madhye sabhayam kurushu socheshtinam.
Then Balaram went back to Dwaraka and saw all his relatives who were in very distressed mood because of this incident with Samba. And the assembly was called for, and in there, everything what has happened there in Hastinapur, Balaram reported to the whole assembly how they treated the Yadavas. That was enough fire to start.
Adhyabijavuram hedal sujayadrama vikramam samunnadam dakshinado handam yamanadrishyadeyam.
That activity of Balaram, what he has done that day, Sukadeva Goswami says here to Parikshit Maharaj, even now you can see the symptom of that the Hastinapur, or that Hastinapur, it was when this was spoken, when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to Parikshit Maharaj, that's 5,000 years ago, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, if you go and look at there now, the Hastinapur palace is still a little bit bent, ready to fall into the river because of this Balaram's plow that was put in to pull it down to the river. So you can see this particular pastime of Samba. What is that lesson coming to us? That in the what we are discussing now is Krishna's householder life, isn't it? That's where the whole thing started. If you remember, after marrying Rukmini Devi, Krishna's householder life begins. And householder life continued. After that, Krishna married the other seven wives. Satyamama, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, Nagnajit, Satya, Bhadra, and Lakshmana. They all married later on. The eight wives. And then in one stretch, Krishna married 16,100 wives. So totally 16,108 wives Krishna had at that time. In addition to that, Krishna also had 10 sons and a daughter from each of these wives. So you can imagine how that family is, Krishna's family is. All those sons have married and they had their wives and their children, grandchildren. So Krishna was a grandfather and Krishna was also a great grandfather by now. So can you imagine the size of Krishna's family by now? What is this all trying to tell us is that when Krishna was on this planet, on some instances, Krishna has exhibited this unusual and extraordinary opulence which this world has never seen before. That is what you find there in this particular pastime. And this has made even the people to realize how can one person conduct a householder life like this. 16,108 wives, number one thing. 10 children from each of them. All of them had their wives and their children. These 10 sons had their wives and their children. So if you see the size of that family, how big it could be. Such a extraordinary householder life, that is what Krishna was having. So from Rukmini Devi's marriage to Krishna, right up to this time, what is discussed is Krishna's householder life. In between, small things are happening. Balaram going to Vrindavanam, meeting the gopis, killing Dvida. All these are, one or two incidents are mentioned. But by and large, what is discussed here is Krishna's householder life. That is just to show us what Supreme Personality of Godhead can do. And what is beyond our imagination. And that is the opulence Krishna has exhibited at that time in Dwaraka. So when this was happening, earlier you have seen Paundraga Vasudev took Paundraga Vasudeva was also offensive to Krishna. But his offense was such that he wanted to dress up like Krishna and challenge Krishna in the same level. Wanted to convince Krishna that I am Vasudev, not you. So surrender unto me. This was Paundraga Vasudev's attitude to Krishna. So Paundraga Vasudev came up with that mentality. And what did Krishna do? Krishna says, at least you have dressed up like me, you can come back to me. And took him back to the Vaikuntham. That is Krishna's mercy to Paundraga Vasudev. He didn't chant Hare Krishna, he didn't study Srimad Bhagavatam, didn't take prasadam, didn't do anything. All he has done is he has dressed up like Krishna and told him that I am Vasudev, he said. So Krishna says, at least you have an attraction for me and my form in Vaikuntham. So with a four-handed form what he exhibited, although it was made of wood, and still Krishna says, at least the desire was there to see the form, you can come back. That was Krishna's mercy. Krishna even accepted that devotee, Paundraga Vasudev. Later on you found Dvivida's case, Balaram showed similar mercy to him. Why? Dvivida was a rascal later on. He became a rascal. He was not a rascal before, but he became a rascal later. In the Ramayana times, Dvivida assisted Ramachandra in every possible way to fight the war. But later on, the head went wrong direction. Started thinking, who is this Lakshmana? Let me fight with him. Real monkey's intelligence started working. So when that started, Balaram decided that it's time for him to go back. He shouldn't stay here with this mentality. Because Dvivida started working, his mentality started coming to him in that way. So initially Dvivida was a devotee, isn't it? He was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. But devotee can also become a demon any time. There is no guarantee that devotee will always remain as a devotee. There is no guarantee a demon will always remain as a demon. He can also become a devotee. Either way it can happen. Everything depends on the modes of nature and also how strongly you associate with the particular modes of nature. Sometimes people say, oh, he was such a nice devotee, how could he do this? Sometimes people speak like this. But this is nothing is permanent in these things. That one state of consciousness can change. That is what we learn from Dvivida. So in Dvivida's case, Balaram showed some mercy and said like this, after all, he says, he has fought with us in the battle against Ravana. So although he is acting like an idiot now, without any brain, trying to offend me, Balaram showed some compassion there to Dvivida. He told Dvivida, you also go back, don't stay here. So Balaram sent back Dvivida there. But look at poor Duryodhana's case. No mercy from Krishna, no mercy from Balaram either. In other words, what he's trying to tell us is this, that this Duryodhana's mind has gone so thick, or in other words, head has gone so thick, that at no point once even Duryodhana ever thought of accepting Krishna's authority and surrendering to him, or even to Lord Balaram. He was seeing Krishna and Balaram on an equal platform all the time, and thinking that by manipulating he could destroy Pandavas, who were Krishna's devotees. And in order to destroy the devotees, he was prepared to go to any extent, and that Krishna and Balaram would not accept. Many important lesson. We also can be like Duryodhana. We also can be like Duryodhana. Only thing, we don't have the strength like Duryodhana. But it is possible that such a demonic nature can develop in every human being also. There is no, because sometimes this tamogunam builds up so strongly inside that one will not be able to discriminate and see things properly. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam and Sukadeva Goswami is saying to us that one should chant the holy names of Krishna and ask for forgiveness from Krishna, not to develop this Duryodhana's mentality within us. Because once that mentality develops, it is very difficult to come out of it, but to become a devotee. You can see in the Mahabharatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look carefully, that not many people did not get liberation. Not many people did not get liberation. There's two or three personalities whom deliberately Krishna did not offer liberation. Everybody else, Krishna says, you can go back to the spiritual world. Even Pudana was allowed to go, who has come to Krishna. Just because she come as a mother to feed me, she can also come back, Krishna says. So Pudana was offered. All the other demons whom Kamsa had sent, they were all sent back. Kamsa was sent back. Everyone was given an opportunity, but Duryodhana didn't get it. Duryodhana alone didn't get it. In spite of the fact that he had the greatest opportunity to associate with Krishna. And even the last minute, before the Mahabharata war, when Krishna went to see Pandavas, that evening, Duryodhana one evening told his wife Bhanumati to speak to Krishna and invite him to come and stay with Duryodhana. Still he was trying to manipulate Krishna. But Krishna had never once wanted to accept Duryodhana's service. He said, "I cannot eat the food from your house because you are inimical to the Pandavas." This was Krishna's position. And Duryodhana was not willing to change that the attitude. Krishna couldn't change it. His own father, Dhritarashtra, could not change it. Bhishma could not change it. Drona could not change it. Nobody could change it. This personality, Duryodhana, a complete incarnation of Kali Yuga, was like that. So because of this, at this point in time, Sudeva Goswami's message to us is, this Duryodhana consciousness is very easy to develop in our own heart. It's not so difficult. It can easily develop. One should take extreme care not to develop that attitude towards Krishna. So that is that end of that chapter. Samba came back to the palace with Lakshmana, Duryodhana's daughter. Such a close relationship even. Daughter married to Krishna's son. Imagine. So on a family level also, such a close relationship. But Krishna has no such consideration. As far as Duryodhana is concerned, Krishna has already made up the mind what to do. So at this point in time, that chapter finishes there. And now, some of the most fascinating stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam comes in. So, after this incident was over, Sambas returned back to Dwaraka. Krishna's household life was talked about by many, many people in Dwaraka. They were amazed by Krishna's capacity to handle such a large family. As I mentioned, 16,108 wives, their 10 children, and their wives, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all of them. It's a massive family. No one could take even one picture to show what that family was. So that was how big that family was. So what has happened is, all you can do now is to get an aerial photo. So, and that aerial photo was taken later. Who has taken? There are three press reporters there. Sudev Goswami, Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas. And they have taken an aerial photo of Krishna's family, which will come later. You will find that later in the Bhagavatam. So how was that aerial photo was taken? Before that, something else happened in Dwaraka. What was that? Once, Sri Narada Maharshi used to come to see Krishna very often in Dwaraka. In one such instance, when Krishna Narada Maharshi came to see Dwaraka, he was walking through the streets, and by chance he started speaking to some people in Dwaraka. So they knew that Sri Narada Maharshi was very close to Krishna, that he was coming, seeing him, spending a lot of time with him, and sometime going back. A great sage, great personality. So some of them started talking to Sri Narada Maharshi like this, told Narada Muni that Krishna has married so many wives. So many wives he has. Is this marriage really working? That was their question. Is this marriage really working? How is that possible? Because most of them had only one wife. And Krishna had 16,108 wives and so many children and grandchildren, everything. How is this possible? So some of them started speaking like this. They said, how much time Krishna spends with each of these wives? This was the first question. So they started calculating. Calculation was like this. If you take a calculator, and you can also calculate, you'll see. If you spend Monday with Rukmini, Tuesday with Satyabhama, Wednesday with Jambavati, if you keep calculating like this, 16,108 days has to go for the next meeting with Rukmini, isn't it? So if you divide it by 365 days in a year, it takes roughly 45 years for Rukmini to see Krishna again. The next day when Rukmini will see Krishna is 45 years later. So that they could not believe that. How come Krishna could do this? You know, it's a very severe crime to do this to Rukmini. That Krishna Rukmini has to wait 45 years to see him the next time. By the time if you take one day after the other with 16,108, 16,109th day is the next day Rukmini get an opportunity to see Krishna. But then the calculation goes wrong, because from all the wives there were 10 children. So if 10 children were born from each wife, that's not possible, is it? Because it doesn't work like that, it doesn't add up properly. So they were all confused about this, and they all said to Narada Muni that we have to do an investigation about this. Because this is not practical, it doesn't make sense, they said to Narada Muni. Narada Muni said, no, I know everything about Krishna, and your calculations are all wrong, he said. You don't know anything about Krishna, what he can do, what he can't do, what he cannot do. He's the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are calculating in your own mind, in your own way, things. But Krishna's position is different. As it says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadar Adi Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. That what Krishna can do, what Krishna cannot do, we do not know. We have our own mind and our own calculations. If you start applying all that to Krishna, you won't get anywhere. So that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying to us. So at this point, Krishna decided that, Sri Narada Maharshi thought, I have told them, but they are not accepting my verdict. When I tell them that he is Bhagavan, he is Supreme Lord, he can do so many things. He says, have you seen Krishna in his opulences, dealing with all his wives together? Narada Muni, I have not seen that, because there is no need for me to go and verify everything and test him, whether he is able to handle all these marriages or not. But I am pretty sure, he said to them, that Krishna is able to manage his household life very well, he said. They said, no, we just don't believe you, what you say. So what they said was, when they said like this, Narada Muni also thought that if I have to say anything further, better thing is that I myself go one day and see what's happening with Krishna in his householder life. So it was this, with this motive, that Srinarada Maharshi's visit to see Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in relationship with this particular pastime, the title what is given there is Krishna Garhastya Nirubanam, Krishna's review of Krishna's householder life. That is how it is titled. Sri Narada Maharshi is going to review Krishna's householder life. Krishna Garhastya Nirubanam. That is how it is mentioned. So Sri Narada Maharshi, one day morning, about 8:30 or little before 9 o'clock, went to see Krishna in his palace, in Rukmini Devi's palace. Rukmini and Krishna were together there in the palace. So Krishna had a daily schedule in the morning. His schedule was, he gets up and then for a few hours he has his own spiritual activities. Krishna used to perform spiritual activities. And after that, exactly like an ordinary householder, he used to conduct his family affairs. Kind of things he used to do. He wanted to make sure that every member in the family was well. They all had everything what they were wanted to have. Krishna was also busy in managing the home with the servants and servant maids, everybody who were assisting Rukmini Devi. Krishna used to discuss with Rukmini about the household affairs. Not about us, like shopping and all that. That was not the important issue for Krishna. But Krishna's management of the house, just like an ordinary householder will do in many ways like that. Krishna used to call all the servants and ask them if they had any complaint, any grievances, and used to talk to them. And after that, about 8:30, 9 o'clock, Uddhava will come to pick him up to go to the assembly, Sudharma. So that was the daily program. So when Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Krishna, at that time in Rukmini Devi's palace, Krishna and Rukmini Devi were sitting together and they were talking about the household affairs, management of the household affairs. I don't know whether to pay the bills or sign in the whatever that was. They were obviously the kind of householder activities we perform today were different, because they didn't have such problems like we have today. For us, 24 hours is busy with our claiming the insurance and paying the bills and following the car park ticket or whatever that is. This is our day-to-day affair. But Krishna's life is, Krishna's pastimes were different. Krishna's activities were different. That Krishna and Rukmini were discussing various things. It was then that Srinarada Maharshi walks into the palace to see them. As soon as Krishna saw Srinarada Maharshi coming in, Krishna says to Rukmini Devi, Rukmini, have you seen who is walking in? And gets up from his seat. Rukmini also gets up. Both of them walk up, gets up from their seat, goes to Srinarada Maharshi, welcomes him and brings him in and paid full obeisances to Srinarada Muni and touched his feet. And you know what Krishna said to Srinarada Maharshi? How long have we been waiting to see you? We are householders, and you know what that means, he says to Srinarada Maharshi. This householder has got only one business. What is that? Counting the pennies all the time and making plans to enjoy life. This is what normally a householder. And if you ask a householder, why don't you come and engage in spiritual life? He will give you millions of excuses why he can't come. So Krishna started making all excuses to Srinarada Muni. He started telling him that, you know, you are a sannyasi. If you don't come and often remind us about our spiritual life, it will never get done. Krishna is saying to Srinarada Muni. Not only that, Krishna says that, have you seen what we were doing when you came in? We were just chatting and enjoying this, talking to each other about our householder activities. No business at all as far as spiritual life is concerned. And as a sannyasi, you have come and you have reminded us about the importance of spiritual life. So Srinarada Maharshi was thinking, why did you get involved in all this householder life? This was Narada Muni's mind was working like that. So Narada Muni was thinking and saying to Krishna, didn't say this, but that is a sannyasi's mind was coming out. A sannyasi always looks at the householder like this. Sannyasi is thinking, oh, this man, he has gone and got himself entangled in all this wife and children and job and money and mortgage and everything. And then when you ask him to do something for Krishna, he has no time. He is so busy. And then what advice can you give this householder? Householder's priorities are all different. After finishing all his other priorities, if he comes for some spiritual activities, that too his mind is absorbed in somewhere else. He has no time to listen to anything. So Krishna's activities were such, Narada Muni was thinking in his mind like this, and Krishna was acting like an ideal householder, a typical householder, telling Narada Muni about his prarabdham. Krishna is saying to him, what can I do? This is my prarabdham. I got involved in this married life. I got all these children, 10 from each wife, and especially from Rukmini, I got 10. And does these children give me any peace? They don't give me a peace either. One goes to Bana and create trouble for me. I have to go with Satyabhama there. Another one goes to Duryodhana and create trouble in Hastinapur. So one trouble is in Bana's palace in Shonidapuram. Another trouble is going on in the palace in Duryodhana in Hastinapur. And I keep running between this and that place, sorting out these issues. This is my fate, Krishna is saying to Srinarada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi is thinking, yes, yes, yes. All householders are same. They are not different. Wherever you go, the householder's music is the same. It's not different. So then Narada Maharshi saw what was going on. Krishna was there. He just wanted to verify Krishna was there. That's all. He had different plans. So he wanted to leave. So when he wanted to leave, Krishna is saying to Narada Maharshi, you know, you don't come very often. You only come very rarely here. You have come now once. And don't leave us like this. At least stay 10 days with us. At least a minimum 10 days if you can spend with us and give us enlightened about spiritual life and spiritual activities. I will be very obliged. We'll be very happy to have your association. You know, like you say to a sannyasi, you say to them like this, isn't it? Give us your association, like that. So they were saying to Srinarada Maharshi exactly the same way like an ordinary householder will do. He says to Narada Muni like this. Narada Muni says, no, I'm a little bit busy at the moment. The plan was to go and verify elsewhere what was happening. So Narada Muni says, I'm a bit busy at the moment. I'll come another time, he says. I'll come back, he said. But right now, I'm a bit busy. Krishna says, what can I do? If you don't give me association, we'll continue as our householder life. No end at all. Prarabdham will continue day after day, he says. So eventually, again, Krishna and Srinarada and Rukmini paid full obeisances to Srinarada Maharshi and requested him to have some prasadam before he goes. So Narada Maharshi could not refuse. After all, You can't just go and come back like that. Says, so he said, I'll accept some prasadam. So they offered some prasadam. Narada Muni took that and he left. So when Narada Muni left, it was about nine o'clock that this has all happened in the morning. And then Narada Muni thought, I should go to Satyabhama's palace now, the next one, and see what's happening there. So between Rukmini Devi's palace and Satyabhama's palace, there is a garden. That is how it was built. The palaces were built like that. There was a garden in between. So he walked through the garden and he entered into the palace of Satyabhama. So that was the thing. So one thing, what Narada Muni noticed was, when he left Rukmini Devi's palace, it was 9 o'clock. But when he got to Satyabhama's palace, it was 12 o'clock, middle of the day. It was all, the sun was right on the top of the sky, on the top in the sky, and it's very hot. Narada Muni could not understand how this has changed like this. It's only about 15-20 minutes walk from here to there. By time, the time has changed, the weather has changed, everything has changed. Anyway, Narada Muni did not think about it too much. He walked in. There he saw Krishna was sitting with Satyabhama together. And not only they were sitting together, what were they doing? That was something worse than what they were doing in Rukmini's palace. The chessboard was open. And Krishna and Satyabhama were sitting opposite and they were playing chess. And the game was in such a state that if you make one move, Satyabhama moved further, Krishna has lost the game. It's finished. He has lost the game. So it was then that Narada Muni walked in. So when Narada Muni walked in, Krishna thought, this is the right opportunity to escape now before he loses the game. So he could make a valuable excuse now. So he says to Satyabhama, Satyabhama, have you not seen who is coming in? Srinarayana Maharshi is coming. If he sees what we are doing here, this playing this chess, what will he think about us? These householders know how to waste their time. This is what the first reply will comment will be from Srinarayana Maharshi. Saying this, Krishna gave a good kick to the whole chessboard and all the things and went flying the whole thing. And says to Satyabhama, together they stood with the folded hands to welcome Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi walked in. Narada Maharshi walked in. Krishna was very apologetic to Narada Muni, saying to Narada Muni, Narada Maharshi, have you seen what we were doing? This is our way of life. This is how householders are. She says to Sri Narada Muni. And Narada Muni says, no, that's okay, he says. The sannyasi is saying, chess is okay, you can carry on playing chess, but I've just come to see you, he says. Krishna says, so how long have we been waiting for you to come? We haven't seen you for such a long time. And you can see, when sannyasis don't come and visit the householders, what kind of activities we get involved with. And he started telling Narada Muni that what he was doing. And Sri Narada Maharshi says to Krishna, that's okay, I will come another time, he says. Krishna says, no, you should stay some time with us. At least stay for another 10 days with us. Exactly everything what was spoken in the Rukmini Devi's palace, Krishna repeated again like a tape recorder here. He repeated the whole thing again to Satyabhama, Narada Muni, with Satyabhama. And they started paying their obeisances to Sri Narada Maharshi. Krishna decided one thing. I will fill Narada Muni's belly fully this time. And offered a lot of prasadam to Narada Muni. Narada Muni came to test Krishna. Krishna has expanded himself in every house. He is present there. And he could take as much prasadam as he wanted. Poor Narada Maharshi had only one belly. So you can imagine that what will be the fate of Sri Narada Maharshi. So first, already he had only about half an hour ago had prasadam there. He hasn't told Krishna that I had been to Rukmini Devi's palace. So he was playing a clever game with Krishna. Krishna also is fully aware what Narada Muni is after, who is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul. He knows everything. So when Narada Muni wanted to leave, Krishna offered him plenty of prasadam and started insisting, like the householders do, saying to Narada Muni, if you don't eat now, you don't know when you're going to have the next prasadam, have as much as you can now, and started feeding Narada Muni. Narada Muni didn't know what to do, because he, in order to satisfy Krishna, again he apologized and took some prasadam and left. While leaving,
Narada, Krishna and Satyabhama says to Narada Muni, please come again, otherwise you know what will happen to us. And started saying to him about the whole prarabdham of his children and family and everything. Because from Satyabhama also he had 10 children. And they also were causing problem for Krishna. Krishna says to them. So he says about his family life and all the responsibilities of family life, everything they explained to Sri Narada Maharshi, and Narada Maharshi left. The next house he went into was Jambavati's house, Jambavati's palace. Narada Muni realized by now, it's not possible to go to all the 16,108 wives. If you have to do that, how much time will it take? You can imagine. And Narada Muni cannot handle it. He knew that it was too much. It's not necessary, he thought, isn't it? Just like you pick up random a few houses and check it out. So that was approach Narada Muni also took. So he thought he'll go, because these houses are one after the other. The palaces of Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, like that, one of Kalindi, like that it comes one after the other. So he went to Jambavati's house. When he went to Jambavati's house, strangely enough, Krishna was in a different situation there. Jambavati was just serving the meal for Krishna. So prasadam was being served. So what has happened when prasadam you're taking? Householder's first responsibility is to feed the guest, isn't it? Krishna took Sri Narada Maharshi inside and told him, you've come at the right time, he said. That this is the best time that I could feed a first-class brahmana and a sage like you. Narada Maharshi started getting worried now. What to say to him? What to say to Krishna? Krishna is saying to Jambavati, Jambavati, Narada Muni doesn't come every day. We are so fortunate. We have got this one opportunity to serve him. We have got only one opportunity to feed this great sage. Let us feed him as best as we can. Encouraging Jambavati to serve more and more. All the prasadam, what was cooked and available there in the palace. In Krishna's palace, all the prasadam was available. Whatever Krishna enjoyed the prasadam from Yashoda Devi, Krishna has made Rukmini Devi learned it from Srimati Radharani. And that cooking was carried on in all the palaces for the rest of the times. So this is how Krishna's habits were. So Krishna says to Jambavati, feed everything to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi is eating, but nothing is going in. It's full up. And still saying, oh, prasadam is wonderful, he says. And like we do also the same thing, isn't it? Even when we are full, sometimes if you see nice prasadam, you want to eat it. Still. So Narada Muni's mood was also like that. So when this happened, Krishna says to Sri Narada Maharshi like this, that you have seen what our situation is. Again, the same repetition of what was spoken in Rukmini Devi's palace, what was spoken in Satyabhama's palace, same thing was repeated like a tape recorder again, here in Jambavati's palace also. And he says to Sri Narada Muni that this is our situation. Please bless us, he says. Let me take some dust from your feet, and as a householder, I want to take that dust from a sage like you and start sprinkling on my head. And he very respectfully took the dust from Narada Muni's feet and started putting on his head. And told Jambavati also, Jambavati, pay your obeisances, do the same thing. He says to Jambavati. Narada Muni says to Jambavati like this. Krishna says to Jambavati like this. So Jambavati did exactly what Krishna has told her to do. So after that, Sri Narada Maharshi wanted to say goodbye to Krishna. And want to say farewell. And he says to Krishna that I will come another occasion. At this time I am particularly busy. So Krishna says, what can we do? It's our prarabdham that I have to carry on like this. Only when we see you, sometimes we remember that life has a higher purpose, a spiritual life, a spiritual goal. But otherwise, we householders, we only do this thing, nothing else. All the time we are busy with our management of the house and the family and wife and the children and grandchildren and this, that and the other. And like this, our whole life goes and we are finished and gone from this. So this is my karmam, Krishna says to Narada Muni. That like this, Krishna presented exactly like an ordinary householder to Narada Muni and spoke like this. Narada Muni thought that, what am I going to say to Krishna now? And he walks away from the home. The next thing, he goes into Mitravinda's palace. The next palace. Mitravinda's palace, when he went into, the scene was a little different. There, Krishna's prarabdham has increased now. Unfortunately, Krishna says,
when Narada Muni walked in, Krishna was sitting there with 8 or 10 of his children all around him. They were all sitting around him. Some of them were sitting on the lap, the smaller ones. The elder ones were sitting on the bench or whatever it is. And some of the grandchildren were also there. You know, like when the Brahmanas worship, they have the Salagram Shila. They'll keep one next to the other in a row. Like this, all this Salagram Shila, like they were sitting all around Krishna. All these children were sitting all around Krishna. And Krishna was playing with them, with these children, and looking after them. Like a mother does with the children. The father was busy like that. So when Narada Muni walked in, as soon as he saw the children, the sannyasi mind started working. Oh, all these children are botheration, he said to himself. You know how the sannyasis are. When they see children, they find, oh, this is just a disturbance in life. Sometimes they act like that. But not all, but sometimes. Some sannyasis are like that, especially if they moved from brahmacharis to sannyasa ashram, who have not gone through householder life, they find a little difficulty with the children. So here, what has happened is, Sri Narada Maharshi is a sannyasi like that. He never had a householder life. He was an Aishika brahmachari before he accepted sannyasa ashram. So when he walked in, when he saw all these children in the house, he thought they are going to create a lot of trouble. So rather won't spend much time, walk back from there straight away. He saw Krishna there. As soon as Krishna saw that, he left all the children there and started running after Narada Muni. Went after him and held him tight and told him, why are you going away like this? We never get this opportunity to look after you. I am a householder, I agree. I've got all this responsibility here. Particularly today, Mitravinda is not very well. That is why I had to look after the children. Krishna says to Narada Muni. So making more and more excuses of why he is so entangled in householder life. This was Krishna's point at that time. Narada Muni was not very keen to come in to receive hospitality. But Krishna insisted, come inside, he said. Please come, because if you don't come, my family life you can see. I am completely entangled with these children and grandchildren, everything. What will happen to me, he says to Narada Muni, if I continue like this? But you should not give, you are giving me a little opportunity, let me do something. Started calling Mitravinda to come out. Mitravinda had as acting as though her hand was hurt, she couldn't do anything. Krishna says, don't worry, please sit down, I'll offer the prasadam, he says. So Krishna started offering the prasadam also to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Muni was managed to satisfy to some extent Krishna. And Krishna started saying that my child, this child is sick, that child is having this problem. All like a householder, as you say, normally, you know, ready to go to the chemist or whatever that was. Like different problems of the householder life. Krishna was narrating all this to Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni thought himself, Why you got involved like this in all this? One marriage is normally sufficient. But 16,108 you got married. And why suffer through like this? Narada Muni was thinking like this. And he left the house and went away. Now, by now, Narada Muni realized that this experiment is not going to work. If I continue doing this in every house, if I start verifying whether Krishna is there or not, it's not necessary. Because 5 or 6 houses I've seen now, and everywhere I have seen Krishna is present there. So I'm sure Krishna can manage like this the rest of the wives also. So therefore, I can now more or less say with full confidence that Krishna manages his householder life like any other householder. This conviction Narada Muni got. But what happened now was, what was happening now was, Narada Muni thought at this time that I should go and see what all happening, because he was going through these palaces one after the other, and what all he saw at different places. Sukadeva Goswami has listed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read that, you will be amazed what a householder life Krishna had. When he went to one palace, he saw Krishna was practicing with the sword and the shield together, how to fight. He was practicing that with somebody else in a palace. He saw this happening. In another palace, Krishna was practicing horse riding. In another palace, Krishna was on top of an elephant, trying to fight, sitting on top of the elephant. On another palace, what did Narada Muni see? Narada Muni saw there, Krishna was sitting there and chanting Gayatri. And in another palace, Sri Narada Maharshi saw that Krishna was performing a Sandhyavandanam ceremony, which Brahmanas normally perform. Krishna was performing the Sandhyavandanam ceremony in another place. So in another place, Krishna was negotiating with some business deal with somebody else. In another place, Narada Muni saw Krishna was fighting with someone, arguing about something else. In another palace, Narada Muni saw Krishna was playing politics with somebody else. So every single palace, different activities were going on, and Krishna was absorbed in all these palaces in one way or the other. Most of the places, Narada Muni will just have a look and then leave. Won't go in because of this prasadam problem. So Narada Muni kept going. Narada Muni kept going. But what he saw was, then he saw from somewhere a massive grounds where it was all decorated nicely and there was a welcome sign outside. Narada Muni thought he will go inside and look what was going on there. He wanted to see himself and see, maybe he thought something else is going on. By now he was tired going through all these different experiments. He thought, I got the answer. But when he walked into this massive grounds, what did he saw? There was a big festival going on. So he inquired from there, what was this festival about? So then Narada Muni heard, 72 boys of Krishna were getting married that day. 72 boys were getting married, and 57 girls also. They were also getting married that day. So Narada Muni thought, because it's a marriage ceremony, and there were so many people present there, if I walk around, I can see what's going on. Nobody will notice me. He thought like this. And he started walking through that. What did he see? Some places he saw some of Krishna's children coming with, holding their new bride's hand together. They were coming back after the marriage. Some of the girls who were getting married to Krishna's sons, going to get married, they were walking with their bridegrooms, who were Krishna's children, sons, to the fire sacrifice ceremony, for the ceremony. Like this, a whole massive ground was full of people getting married, boys and girls. And this whole scene, Srinarada Maharshi saw, 57 boys, or 72 boys and 57 girls is not too many, comparing 16,100 wives and 10 children. You can imagine how many boys he had. So, obviously, Krishna was doing the whole marriages in one lot to finish it, because it was too much, otherwise if you have to do every individual marriage. So this time, what did Krishna say? Narada Muni do? Narada Muni kept avoiding Krishna and started going. Krishna spotted him. In the middle of this, Krishna spotted Narada Muni. And he told Narada Muni, what a good fortune. Did you get my invitation? Krishna says to Narada Muni. Krishna has not sent any invitation to Narada Muni. But Narada Muni says, I didn't get the invitation, he says. What does it matter? Krishna says, you got here at the right time. That's more important. Like we also do, isn't it? Sometimes we don't send invitation to somebody. But some or the other man comes to know and comes for the marriage. Then what can you do? All you can say is to him that you have come at least for the ceremony. Like that, Krishna was saying to Narada Maharshi, at least you have come now. Very good, he said. Krishna says to Narada Muni, please spend as much time you can, at least a few days, because this marriage and the feasts after that, it will last for days together. All these marriages had feasts day after day. And if a great sage like you will come and have feast every day with us, that is the greatest satisfaction for us. So this marriage is successful by your presence. Krishna starts the whole responsibility on Narada Muni. And says to Narada Muni, by your very presence, they are all blessed, Krishna says. And so please stay here as many days as possible and take prasadam morning, midday, evening, every time. Take prasadam here and stay with us and bless all these young children, boys who are getting married and the girls as well. Narada Muni got into trouble now. He has to take prasadam first, which is the most difficult thing. Before Narada Muni could answer, Krishna has ordered the prasadam for Narada Muni. Plenty to bring, because he was saying to Narada Muni, you must have been very tired walking a long distance, isn't it? So first thing, take prasadam and relax yourself. He said, I made all arrangements for you to stay here till these ceremonies are over. In this way, Krishna started showing different way. Krishna started welcoming Narada Muni. Narada Muni said to Krishna at this time that I will come another time. It is too much for me. I cannot stay here. I am going now, he said. So Krishna says, what can I do? You come right in the middle of the marriage, but sometime you should come. Krishna again reminded Narada Muni. Sometime you should come and spend some time with us. Otherwise it is very difficult. We are householders. And if we don't
don't get reminded by you properly, what will happen to us? Krishna started reminding Sri Narada Maharshi of the responsibility of a sannyasi or a sage towards the householder. So after that, Sri Narada Maharshi leaves Krishna. After leaving that palace, Narada Muni decided there is no need to verify anything anymore after this, because all the verification is over and fully convinced what is going on. So he wanted to go back. So when he wanted to go back, by now he lost his way, completely lost the way, and he walking back, he got back again into Rukmini Devi's palace, right in the front. By now, in each of these houses, when Sri Narada Maharshi was going, he saw that the weather was changing from one house to the other. In some places it was raining, some places it was snowing, some places it was sunny, and like this it was changing. And when he looked at the time also, he could see there was a big difference in the timings. So he was getting a bit confused about the whole thing, that what was happening. Sri Narada Maharshi walks back, and by chance he gets into Rukmini Devi's palace again in the front. When he got there, Krishna was sitting there with Rukmini Devi again. So Krishna saw from distance Narada Maharshi coming. So says to Rukmini Devi, loud enough so that Narada Muni will hear. What did he say to Rukmini? Says to Rukmini, did you see? I think Narada Muni has lost his way. He is still walking around there. He doesn't know where he is going. It looks like that to me. He said like this deliberately to Narada Muni to hear, but didn't go to invite him or anything. Narada Muni was also careful. It looks awkward that you have just come from there and again going back there again. So Sri Narada Maharshi thought at that time that he has lost his way, and he started going here, there, everywhere. When he left, Narada Muni was going to Satyabhama's palace. The same scene again. So Narada Muni, not knowing which direction to go, was backwards and forwards, running around. At that time, one person comes up to Narada Muni and says to him, in a very, very serious tone, he says to Narada Maharshi, who are you? He says to Narada Muni. Narada Maharshi says to him, Narada Muni thought everybody knew him. So he says to him, you don't know me? I am Narada Maharshi, he says. Oh, I see. So, what's the business? What are you walking around here? Because people don't loiter here in this way. This is not a proper place for people to wander around. Very tough instructions, he says, at that time. So Narada Maharshi thought, never before anyone has questioned me like this when I came to see Krishna. So Narada Muni thought, Krishna will always support me. So with that, he says to this person, who are you? He says. Narada Muni says to him, he says to Krishna, Narada Muni, I am a private detective, he says. I am a private detective. I have been employed from the palace. And my duty, he says to Krishna, to Narada Muni, is this, that everyone who has been given any responsibility, whether they are executing their job correctly or not, it is my duty to supervise them. That's what I normally do. And I have a message from the palace that you have been given a responsibility, and that responsibility is that you have to go and verify in 16,108 palaces if Krishna is present there or not. Have you done that? He says to Narada Muni like this. Narada Muni didn't know what to answer. He said, because you have not done that, you have not executed your job properly, the instruction to me is to arrest you and bring you to the palace straight away, he says. So Narada Muni didn't want a black mark on his record that police has arrested him, isn't it? Because we all know that, what it means, isn't it? If your police has arrested you once, that goes on your CV, or it goes on your passport, or wherever it is. And Sri Narada Maharshi did not want any hassle like that from anywhere. So he says to the policeman, this detective, he was in his plain clothes, he says to him, please don't arrest me, I'll come where you want me to come, but don't follow me along with me, walk a little behind, so that people don't notice this, I've been arrested by the police. It looked very awkward. Sri Narada Maharshi says to this detective. Detective takes him to Krishna, to Rukmini Devi's palace. When he went there, Krishna was there. This time, no obeisances, nothing. All obeisances finished there. Earlier, first time when Krishna Narada Muni came to see Krishna, Krishna and Rukmini Devi fell down and paid the obeisances, touched the lotus feet of Sri Narada Maharshi, took the dust and put it on the head. Not only that, at one point somewhere, Krishna also even touched the veena or the musical instrument what Narada Muni had. Krishna even touched that and put it on his head. To such an extent he showed respect to Sri Narada Maharshi all along. But this time, when Sri Narada Maharshi walked in, Krishna's answer was different. You should read that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna says there to Narada Maharshi like this, that have you finished the experiment, what you were up to? My dear son, Krishna never called Sri Narada Maharshi as my son. This time, this is how Krishna addressed Sri Narada Maharshi. My dear son, I am a person who's taught what religious principles are in this world. I am the person from whom Vedas have come. Isn't it? Vedas were compiled by, Vedas are Krishna's breathing. And what does Vedas mean? Vedas means Varnashama Dharmam. In other words, Varnashama Dharmam had been spoken by me. And Garhasthyam, Grahastha Ashramam, is a part of Varnashama Dharmam. People misunderstand Grahastha Ashram because in the modern world, people think if you are a householder, you are finished. Nothing you can do after that. There is no possibility for any opportunity to go back home, back to spiritual world. But Krishna's policy is not like that. It is our misunderstanding of things. A householder, Krishna was a householder. And Krishna was an ideal householder. And Krishna was an extraordinary householder in all ways. He managed 16,108 wives, children, grandchildren, their families. And Krishna had executed and showed us that a householder life is in no way an obstacle in advancing on the spiritual path. This is what Krishna wanted to say to Sri Narada Maharshi. He said to Sri Narada Maharshi, I am the person who instituted this Varnashrama Dharma system. And Grahastha Ashramam is one of the Varnashrama Dharma system. And if it is executed properly, it is not will not come against you in your spiritual life. This is, therefore, because I have created this Varnashrama Dharma system, I have to show to the world also how to practice it. I am such a person. I am not a person who preaches something and don't do it. And my dear son, says to Narada Maharshi, I know why you have come to see us. Are you satisfied now? This is the answer Krishna gave to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi had no one word to say after that. What can you say? What can you say to Krishna at this point? Because Krishna's point is this, that householder life is one of the important ashrama. Why? Brahmachari ashram is preparation for the householder life. And if you see Krishna's life in this planet, when Krishna spent his time in this planet, most of the time Krishna was a householder, wasn't it? Like 12 years in Vrindavanam, as a little boy when he played with the gopis and the cowherd boys. After that went to Mathura, spent a few years in Mathura. After that he moved to Dwaraka. And then Rukmini was married. So from Rukmini's marriage onwards, right up to 125 years, when Krishna spent in the time in this planet, Krishna was a householder. So he has exuded householder life and taught the world that householder life is not a problem in spiritual life, as long as all the people involved understand the importance of spiritual life. What happens to most of us is that because we do not understand the importance of spiritual life, and if one party of the two pulls in another direction, then the whole thing gets upset. But if the household ashram is executed properly, Krishna also wanted to show that it is this householder ashram that will be majority of the people in this world will always be householders. How many sannyasis will be there in this world? Less than 1%, not even 1%. You can 1% is a very high number. How many brahmacharis will stay in this world? Also very little. Majority of the people in this world will be always householders. So Krishna has instituted this Varnashrama Dharma system and a Grahastha Ashramam in the middle of that, with the intention that human society can progress gradually in spiritual path. That is why Grahastha Ashram is created. So if you condemn Grahastha Ashramam from the very beginning and say that Grahastha Ashramam is simply a prison house and no way, always looking for the escape route from there, that's not going to help the situation. So, Varnashrama Dharma is a process whereby anyone, as long as they are executing the particular responsibility of that ashram, they are properly situated. What is important is not which ashram you follow. What is important is, are you developing Krishna consciousness? That is the important thing. It is not whether you have a danda in the hand, or whether you are wearing saffron, or whether you are a brahmachari or a householder. That is not. Krishna has spoken about this in detail later on to Uddhava also. And the way Krishna spoke about this is much more humorous way he spoke about it. When the sannyasa ashram was discussed, in the Ekadasa Skandam, Uddhava asked Krishna about sannyasi's responsibility. You should read those chapters, because when you read that chapter of the responsibility of a sannyasi, you can understand that what a glorious position that sannyasa ashram is, and at the same time what a heavy responsibility on the individual who is concerned. Today we will say somebody is a sannyasi. There are so many sannyasis, so many this in this world today. Only problem is, when you read Bhagavatam and when you read the description of a sannyasi's consciousness activities, it is very hard to find a sannyasi anywhere close to that description. That is the problem. So, from here you can see that householder ashram, what is discussed in the Bhagavatam, and in the sannyasi ashram when it came to, Uddhava asked Krishna that what qualify a person to take into sannyasa ashram. In relationship with that, Krishna says to Uddhava, Venubher na bhaved yadi. Yadi means a sannyasi. Krishna says to Uddhava that just by taking a bamboo in the hand, bamboo is that danda, isn't it? It's bamboo stick. So by carrying a dandam or the bamboo in the hand, you are not going to become a sannyasi. Or changing the clothes into saffron, you won't become a sannyasi. Venubherat na bhaved yadi. And Sri Shukan says there that the word used is Venu. Venu means bamboo, isn't it? Bamboo. Now the Venu is also another name for the flute. Krishna used to play the flute, isn't it? Which is also made of bamboo. So the sannyasi's danda is made of bamboo, and Krishna's flute is also made of bamboo. So what Krishna says when Krishna was saying to Uddhava, Venubhir nabhaved yadi, when he said, Uddhava smiled. Why? Because it is true, Krishna took the flute and played, and where was the sannyasam? Krishna had the association of so many gopis together. So in other words, Uddhava realized that simply by taking the venu or the bamboo in the hand, you are not going to become a sannyasi. That is implied in that description, the way Sukadeva Goswami put that to Parikshit Maharaj. So, Krishna's description of sannyasa ashram is such a respectable and such a responsible position in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find. And therefore, because of the heavy responsibility that is expected, and or the standard that is expected from a sannyasa ashram, often you will find that this sannyasa ashram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also has recommended in many instances, that not very practical in the age of Kali. Kali Yuga's one of the difficult thing for the sannyasis to maintain that standard of Krishna consciousness. So, whatever it is, Krishna spoke all these things to about ashrama dharmam, different ashrama dharmams to Sri Narada Maharshi. And with that, Sri Narada Maharshi finishes that chapter, and it is immediately after that the next incident happened, one which is more important than what happened before. There are some of the incidents in Krishna's householder life are so fascinating. If you read them and understand and think about it, there is no more convincing necessary that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No time in the history, at least in the known history in this world, you will not see a personality who executed householder life like the way Krishna has executed. Sri Narada Maharshi, as soon as he saw all these things, paid his obeisances to Krishna and took leave from Krishna. And what did he do? As usual, Narada Maharshi, whenever he sees something wonderful about Krishna, Here, Krishna has exhibited one of the extraordinary opulences to him. And when he saw that, Krishna thought he should talk about this to some people. Not ordinary people. There's no point in talking to ordinary people. They'll ask all silly questions again. But you should talk to some devotees, he thought. Krishna, and Narada Muni thought, I should talk about this to some devotees. So what did he do? He immediately flew to Hastinapur, to Indraprastham. Who was there? The Pandavas were there. As soon as Srinarada Maharshi got there, Yudhishthira Maharaj welcomed Srinarada Maharshi and told him to come and offered the due respects and welcomed him in every proper way. And then Narada Muni could not stop talking about what he saw in Dwaraka. He spoke about Dwaraka for hours together, the things what happened there, and his experiment with Krishna, and Krishna's householder life, and eventually what he learned the lesson from that. Everything in detail, Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj heard all these things. When he heard all that, in his mind, he was thinking like this. What was his thought? His thought was this. I have invited Krishna at least once to come to Indraprastham along with the whole family. Can you imagine inviting Krishna with the whole family to come to Indraprastham? What that means? And every time Yudhishthira Maharaj has invited Krishna to come to Indraprastham, Krishna will make an excuse saying that, you know how I am caught up in my householder life. Krishna will make an excuse and pull out, won't go. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling very, very strongly about it, because that is that devotee's heart, that at least once, if Krishna can come, we could receive the whole family and worship them together. This is what he wanted. Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to welcome the whole family of Krishna, invite them and worship them nicely and send them back. And after a few days, this was this in his mind. So he has many instances told Krishna about this. And every time Krishna made some excuse, something or the other, and never wanted to come to Indraprastham. So it was always Yudhishthira Maharaj's complaint that Krishna will never come. So when Srinarada Maharshi told about this whole thing of what happened in Dwaraka, immediately Yudhishthira Maharaj said to Narada Maharshi, what can I do? I have invited Krishna to come so many times, he would never come. Srinarada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that you have to invite him in the proper way. I will invite him. This time, I'm going to invite him. But we have to have an excuse for that. What is that excuse? We'll perform Rajasuyam sacrifice. This Rajasuyam in the Srimad Bhagavatam is so famous. It's so famous that if you study this Rajasuyam sacrifice, it will get into your head, so powerful it is. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a very short description. If you look into Mahabharatam, you will find a lot more, many chapters, description of Rajasuyam. But this topic of Rajasuyam has been taken out explicitly, exclusively by great devotees. And they have discussed more or less over a year's time, Rajasuyam alone. That is the power of this Rajasuyam sacrifice. You will never ever come across a ceremony like Rajasuyam, what Yudhishthira Maharaj did, any time in the previous history, never in the future. That is the power of this Rajasuyam. Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuyam sacrifice, so well known, and such an important ceremony, that yagam or sacrifice that he performed. So that Rajasuyam ceremony was discussed between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Srinarada Maharshi. So Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed with Narada Maharshi that if you can invite, Yudhishthira Maharaj told Narada Maharshi, yourself, you should go yourself and invite Krishna to come with the whole family for the Rajasuyam sacrifice. Maybe Krishna will accept that invitation. That is how Yudhishthira Maharaj told Narada Maharshi. As soon as they took the decision, Narada Maharshi left Indraprastham and flew to Dwaraka. So Narada Maharshi is just arriving Dwaraka. Now another day in the assembly of Krishna. Krishna's assembly is called Sudharma. It's another day in that assembly. That day morning also, Krishna, after finishing all the morning responsibilities, Krishna is arriving at the assembly. Prior to arriving at the assembly, in the morning, Krishna has one normal procedure. Many Brahmanas will come to see Krishna. Krishna was a great devotee of Brahmanas. He used to offer them a lot of charity, cows, gold, clothes, and things like that. And every day, hundreds and hundreds of Brahmanas will come. And it was a practice, routine thing in Krishna's life. Before he left home and went to the assembly, this charity will be performed. In addition to that, as soon as the Uddhava picks up Krishna and comes to the assembly, when they arrive at the assembly, first thing what Krishna does is, Krishna asks if there were anyone who has any complaints about the administration. This was the first thing. Or anyone has any grievances against the administration. Although Ugrasena was the king, Krishna managed on behalf of Ugrasena from Dwaraka. And when Krishna was present there, if people had any grievances, they will approach Krishna with their grievances. So that particular morning also, when Krishna arrived in the assembly, a representative from the king of from Jarasandha's place, Magadha, came there to see Krishna. He was an emissary of some of the kings who were locked up in prison by Jarasandha. If you remember, who was Jarasandha? Jarasandha has fought with Krishna. 17 times he fought with Krishna and lost the war and flew from the battlefield. On the 18th time, Krishna acted as though he has lost the war and he flew from the battlefield. And Jarasandha chased Krishna and Balaram and they followed him. He followed them and on top of a mountain, they set fire to the whole mountain. And without knowing what has happened, Jarasandha left Krishna and Balaram, came back declaring to the whole world that he has burned Krishna and Balaram in the fire and escaped from that. And was very proud that he has beaten Krishna and Balaram. Now this Jarasandha wanted to invade the Yadavas and Krishna in Dwaraka. For that opportunity, he was taking the assistance from several other kings who were ruling the planet at that time. But many of them would not agree to make an alliance with Jarasandha. They did not want to fight with Krishna, because knowing well that Jarasandha's intention was to fight with Krishna, they wanted to stay away from the war. Because of this, Jarasandha, who was very, very powerful personality, he decided to invade these kings and put them in prison. So altogether, Jarasandha has imprisoned 20,800 kings in his palace. And these 20,800 kings, they were locked up in a prison. And because they were not willing to comply with Jarasandha's request, Jarasandha decided to offer them in sacrifice to one of the gods what he was worshipping. Some Bhairava or somebody like that. This Jarasandha belonged to the Kapaliga type of worshippers. Some kind of worship they perform, Kapaligas, they are called. So Jarasandha belonged to this Kapaligas religious group. Like today also you find so many, all kinds of religious groups in this world all the time existed. It's not that, only at that time they existed. Even now it exists. Many of them we do not know, but many of them we do know. And we think some of them are okay, some of them are not okay. But whatever it is, all these things did exist in this world all the time. Only thing is when something strange happens and it comes out in the newspaper, then you start realizing, oh, such people also exist in this world today. So this is there in this world. So anyway, Jarasandha was one of those who was a Kapaligas. And these 20,800 kings, he wanted to offer them in sacrifice to his Kapaliga worship, whatever that was. So a date was fixed for that, kill them and offer them. And this was known to them, to the kings. So you can imagine, he has imprisoned them in such a way and he was not even looking after them properly. Because he knew that if he gave them too much facilities, one day they will turn against him. So because of that, he was not offering them much of a help. But somehow or the other, these 20,800 kings who were imprisoned, they came to know about this plan and they managed to find someone through whom they were able to send a message to Krishna for protection. So when this representative arrived in Sudharma, Krishna was present there and he delivered the message from these kings to Krishna. Krishna heard this message that they have to be rescued immediately before a date has already been fixed. A few weeks or so was left behind. So before that, they had to act. Krishna had to act and do something about it. The whole assembly who was present there, they all heard this request from these kings, which had come through this representative. And so they all, the Yadava army, who was very powerful at that time, they wanted the war, ready to fight, attack Jarasandha. This was the immediate response from the army commanders who were present there. So they were all charged up, because you can imagine, normally the army people have a problem. For a long time, if they sit idle, they find it very difficult. Day after day, eating well, exercising well, the body is in full trim, and the body needs something to fight with, somebody to fight with. So when you don't get an opportunity, they also get fed up one day. So when they sensed that there was an opportunity to fight, they just realized that there was some opportunity to fight. They immediately took caught hold of that and started pressing Krishna that let's get ready now to go to attack Jarasandha. But Krishna knew that with respect to Jarasandha, his army wasn't that powerful. Jarasandha was a very powerful personality. If you think about Jarasandha's life, will come later, we'll talk about that. Why this Jarasandha became so powerful. So he knew that that is not a practical quick solution for that. So Krishna was hesitating, but the pressure was building up in the assembly. Everyone, all the members of the parliament, they were putting pressure on Krishna that we should go for the war. Straight away attack Jarasandha. Pressure was building up in the assembly. When this discussion was going on, suddenly in the sky, Sri Narada Maharshi comes and lands down in front of the assembly. As soon as they all saw Narada Maharshi, Krishna gave up all other business, went up to Sri Narada Maharshi, welcomed him, received him nicely as a sage is welcomed, brought him into the assembly and gave him the throne to sit and started arrange the worship for him. When all these things were done, Sri Narada Maharshi opened up his mind and started saying to Krishna that the purpose of my visit here was actually to invite you and all the family members and everyone to come to Indraprastham for this Rajasuya sacrifice. And Sri Narada Maharshi was not aware of all what was going on between this representative and why the whole assembly looked very, very serious at that time. So when Sri Narada Maharshi requested Krishna to come to Indraprastham for the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna started thinking about it, what is the next best thing to do at this point in time. It was then that all the members in the assembly, wanted to say to Krishna that Rajasuya sacrifice can wait. There is no rush for that. That's not so urgent. Important thing is to go to this war and fight with the Jarasandha and Jarasandha's army and rescue the kings from there. This was the viewpoint, or this was the opinion of all those who were present in the assembly. Because it was like that, there was a difference of opinion in the assembly, and at that time Krishna was thinking what is the next action to take. At that time, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has asked the opinion of Uddhava to give the advice to Krishna and the assembly what course of action they should pursue. Vrishninam pravaro mandri krishnasya daida sakha shishyo brihaspade sakshal uddhavo buddhi sattamaham. Uddhava is considered to be the very intelligent person, and you will see how Uddhava made the decision at that time. So when all the assembly members were discussing each other about the next stage of action, Uddhava mentioned to Krishna and to the assembly members that in his opinion, the right thing to do now is that we should all go for the Rajasuyam sacrifice. All of us should go there. But in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, there is a ceremony in the beginning. What is to be done is that the king who is performing Rajasuyam he has to go in all directions and make sure that all the kings are subdued to him, subdued by him. Or in other words, he doesn't have to fight with them. If they accept the authority of Yudhishthira Maharaj, no need to fight. As long as they agree to pay the taxes to Yudhishthira Maharaj. If they don't, they have to declare a war, fight with them and subdue them. And only after that, you can perform the Rajasuyam sacrifice. This is the precondition for the sacrifice. Because it is like that, Uddhava says to Krishna, when we get there for Rajasuyam sacrifice, we have to do this Digvijayam. Digvijayam it's called, Digvijayam. So for Digvijaya ceremony, we have to go to fight. And naturally, Jarasandha is not going to agree. It is obvious. So in that process, we will attack Jarasandha on that pretext. And when he attacks Jarasandha, there will be a war. In that, we will rescue these 20,800 kings who are imprisoned. When Uddhava said this, Krishna congratulated Uddhava for this nice plan, what he has thought of. As well as everyone in the assembly was also very pleased with that, because they also wanted to go and see, receive the hospitality of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So the whole journey begins towards Indraprastham. That is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the journey from Dwaraka to Indraprastham. It is discussed in the Bhagavatam. When you read that, you'll be amazed that it's just like the whole London city is moving to Manchester. It is something like that. You can imagine the amount of people they were traveling. And this Rajasuyam sacrifice lasts for roughly 18 months. If you look at the Shastram, the details are given there in relationship with Rajasuyam. 17 months and 17 days, that is how Rajasuyam lasts. That means Krishna has been invited with the whole family, virtually the whole of Dwaraka, you can say, has to come to Indraprastham. So Sri Shukan says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when the journey started from from Dwaraka, the elephants, the chariots, the horses on which they were traveling, it was like a massive population moving along the streets towards Indraprastham. Just like the whole western ocean was moving towards to Indraprastham, it says, like that. The whole ocean was coming forward with the tides. In such a powerful way, this whole movement of the Krishna's family from Dwaraka to Indraprastham. So when that was moving, that is when this aerial photo was taken. Now, mentioned about before, Krishna's family. The aerial photograph was taken by Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas. They took that photo at that time, because that's the only way you can get a photo of that family. Otherwise, no camera could take that photo. And it was such a large family of Krishna. So their journey to Indraprastham begins at this time. And when they started their journey, you can imagine, the whole family has to spend 17 months, 17 days for the sacrifice. Now, the sacrifice date is not fixed yet. All this family will arrive there first. After arriving there, about 3 months it took for them to fix the date and to invite everybody to come. So for them, it's not only 17 months, 17 days. It is more than 2 years it will take for them to stay at Indraprastham. So you can assume how much arrangements Yudhishthira Maharaj had to make in Indraprastham for this whole family to accommodate, isn't it? Even we talk about making a program for an Olympics, how much discussion happens about it. Have you seen that so many stadiums have to be built, so much accommodation has to be found, and in addition to that, the government need to have so much money to invest in that, isn't it? That means you have to increase your taxes on the people. There is no other choice, is there? That's the only way you can collect the funds. Expecting that the Olympics will go well and you will make profit and probably that will be a boost for the jobs and all that. This kind of discussion as you see in the newspaper all the time. So such a massive event, if you have to conduct, you need heavy, heavy resources for that. Funds required for that. Yudhishthira Maharaj did not have those funds. He didn't have any funds. And the strange situation is this. He has invited Krishna to come for the Rajasuyam. But Krishna has to arrange everything for the Rajasuyam himself. Can you imagine? You have invited somebody as a guest in your house. Then you are asking the guest, now you go and get the ingredients so that we can cook the meal. It is a similar situation there now. Because no one could handle this family, Krishna's family. It is such a family size-wise and their demands also. As far as Krishna and Balaram is concerned, it's not a big problem. Kunti Devi has said this to Panjali once. If Krishna and Balaram comes, we can look after them because they are our family members. And even if we don't look after them, they will not make any complaints. But Krishna's family is not like that. They are all the daughters from the many, many royal families. They are not used to our standard of life. They are used to much higher opulent lifestyle. So if we don't look after them properly, it is a bad reflection on us. Kunti Devi said this to Draupadi in one instance at the time of this Rajasuyam negotiations. So you can see how much responsibility it brings on the treasury, isn't it? It's not only on the treasury. If you study Rajasuyam, you will know it is impossible to perform a sacrifice like that today. Absolutely impossible. No one, not even the wealthiest nation in this world today, can perform a Rajasuyam sacrifice. That is how difficult it is. The demands are so powerful, heavy. So, here what happens is, the whole population is moving towards Indraprastham. And the packing went on for many, many, many months. What has to go? Because Krishna's 16,108 wives, you can imagine how many saris have to go with that. And to spend 2 years in Indraprastham, you can imagine the amount of saris they had to go from Dwarka to Indraprastham. Because it's not possible to wear the same sari the next day, because if you wear the same sari, they will say, oh, she has got only one sari, she is repeatedly wearing this. So, thinking all these things, the package went on for a long time. The amount of sari boxes that has been packed. What is the next thing? Jewelry. If you wear the same jewelry every day, then they will say, Krishna is poor. Krishna can only afford this much with so many wives. No. So therefore, extreme care was taken that there were princesses from royal families. They had to show their opulences when they are there in Indraprastham. So much jewelry was taken with them. All this was packed in boxes after boxes and had to go to be fully protected. So much gold, so much jewelry, so much expensive things that was being taken from Dwarka to Indraprastham. So can you visualize yourself in your own mind that procession from Dwarka to Indraprastham, what it was like, this whole family moving. Every day they traveled a few miles and they will stop for the night to halt. And they will rest the night and continue the journey the next day. This is how this journey carried on. For weeks together they traveled and they arrived in Indraprastham. Krishna had a proper idea how many days it will take because things have to be planned before Jarasandha finishes the kings. So that was in his mind. So when the procession continued like this, after many days they arrived in Indraprastham. So every day one soldier will go and report back to Yudhishthira Maharaj that the Krishna's family has arrived such and such a place on the journey. It was informed like this. Yudhishthira Maharaj is waiting for them to arrive near the Indraprastham palace so that he could go and receive them. So when they arrived very close to Indraprastham, few miles away from the Indraprastha palace of the Pandavas, that particular day, Yudhishthira Maharaj came to know that they have arrived. He went with all the Pandavas and the other family members like Bhishma, Drona and others. They have also joined. Because you have to remember, Mahabharata war has not happened yet. This all happens much before the Mahabharata war. Duryodhana and others are in Hastinapur. Pandavas are in Indraprastham. The two families are still talking to each other. No proper agreement has come yet. The hate in Duryodhana's mind is still there, very strong. Wants to destroy the Pandavas somehow or the other. Always looking for an opportunity to do that. And this is the mood of Duryodhana. But Bhishma and Drona, they were able to restrict him to some extent and keep a check on Duryodhana's activity. So, when Krishna arrived there, all these family members came to receive Krishna. Duryodhana has come to know that Yudhishthira Maharaj is planning to perform Rajasuyam. And when Duryodhana came to know about this, you can imagine what Duryodhana's mind will be. That envy inside, and also that in Rajasuyam sacrifice, how much expenditure it will be, and how much benefit it's going to bring to Yudhishthira Maharaj. All these things were making Duryodhana very furious about it. So at one point, Duryodhana was plotting himself what to do about it. Whatever it is, Yudhishthira Maharaj comes to see Krishna and to receive him at the outskirts of the city. That is the system. So when he got there, Pandavas were with him, and as soon as he saw Krishna's chariot with the flag on the top and the golden chariot extraordinarily built and one which could not be left unnoticed, Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that. Yudhishthira Maharaj, the chariot came and had a dead stop in front of Yudhishthira. When the chariot stopped, Krishna got down from the chariot, paid his obeisances to Yudhishthira. This is Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj by age is elder to Krishna. But Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no difficulty in paying obeisances to anyone, especially the devotees. So to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he paid his obeisances. Yudhishthira picked up Krishna and they embraced each other. After that, Krishna paid his obeisances to Bhimasena. Bhima also embraced Krishna. With Arjuna, because of the same age, Krishna embraced Arjuna. Nakula and Sahadev, who were present there, they paid their obeisances to Krishna according to the age, Vayakramam, as it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So they finished all this procedures in the beginning, and then Yudhishthira was crying, because after so many invitations, so many times he tries to pursue to bring Krishna to Indraprastham, this first time he has succeeded. He did not know how to show his gratitude and show his respects to Krishna, so he was virtually crying, having got an opportunity to serve Krishna in this way, along with the family members of Krishna. Because that is all Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted, that devotee. Somehow or the other, this opportunity to perform Rajasuyam is a rare thing that will happen in a king's life. In our life, we don't have to worry about Rajasuyam or anything. But for a king of the status of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Duryodhana and all that, Rajasuyam is a very, very rare thing. So, having got this opportunity, Yudhishthira Maharaj was in ecstasy, so to say. He was in total ecstasy. So what happened was, when Krishna and Yudhishthira walked into the palace, inside, Kunti Devi, Subhadra Devi and Draupadi Devi were waiting there. There were three of them were sitting together. And Kunti Devi knew Krishna was coming. So by now, Kunti Devi was feeling that emotional feeling towards Krishna. How many times Krishna has rescued her and the family members, and how many times Krishna has all the way supported the Pandavas against Duryodhana. So all that gratitude, King Pandu died, and afterwards the responsibility was on Kunti Devi. So how much Krishna sheltered them, which you have studied in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, why Kunti Devi spoke with such a touching manner to Krishna. At that time you can see that Kunti Devi's mood, what it was like. So that Kunti Devi was inside waiting for Krishna to come. So before Krishna arrived, Kunti Devi told Subhadra and to Draupadi. Subhadra and Draupadi, Kunti Devi said to them, when Krishna comes, I will get up to embrace him. But when I get up, I will start shaking. My body will start shaking because of the age as well as because of the emotions inside. I may fall. At that time, if I'm going to fall, you should hold me from both sides. Otherwise, I'll fall on the ground. But once Krishna comes closer to me, I will hold Krishna. Then you can leave me. This is what Krishna... All these words have some importance. What it means is, if you hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, there is no need to hold on to anybody's lotus feet after that. But if you leave Krishna's lotus feet, then you will have to hold on to many lotus feet in this world. That is what the message is. So Krishna is saying to, Kundidevi is saying to Subhadra Devi and to Draupadi that please take care of me when Krishna comes. So in this whole emotionally charged condition, Yudhishthira Maharaj brought Krishna inside. And Krishna, as soon as he entered the palace, first thing he asked was, where is Kundidevi? First he wanted to see her, being a devotee, isn't it? That is, Krishna never forgets the devotee. Wherever he goes, devotee is in the top of the agenda, before everyone else. So Krishna says to Kundidevi like this, and Krishna came, wanted to see Kundidevi. But in the process, Yudhishthira Maharaj has even forgotten to wash Krishna's lotus feet. That is a process normally when you enter into someone's house, the system is that there is water kept in the pots there to be washed first and then welcomed in and received properly. All that Yudhishthira has forgotten completely. Golden pots were kept there for Krishna to use to wash the feet, and for washing lotus feet, plenty of water was stored there. First class water, perfumed and everything. Everything Yudhishthira Maharaj has forgotten. Took Krishna straight to Kundidevi. When Kundidevi got there, Krishna got there, Kundidevi got up, and as it was discussed before, Kundidevi immediately fell into Krishna's hands. And Krishna embraced Kundidevi and started paying his obeisances to Kundidevi. Kundidevi did not know what to say except to cry. She was, tears were coming from Kundidevi's eyes. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't know anything what was going on because of the emotions. As a devotee, you can see Yudhishthira Maharaj's emotional feeling. And this was happening in the palace. And that time is when that Kundidevi asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, have you offered anything to Krishna to take any food to eat? It is only then Yudhishthira realized that he has not even washed his feet. What to talk about offering some food? So that time Kundidevi says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, don't worry about Krishna. He will go to the kitchen and he will take it himself. He is a member of our, just like we say, isn't it? Help yourself. When your member, family members are close, you tell them to help yourself, isn't it? In some instance. So there is no problem with Krishna. Krishna can wait. There is no need to worry about Krishna. He is a member of this family, Kundidevi says. But all those who have come with Kundidevi, with Krishna, they are not ordinary people like us, Kundidevi says. They are all daughters of big, big, powerful kings. Rukmini Devi is king of Vidarbha. And similarly, many other queens who have come with Krishna, they were all daughters of different kings. And if we don't look after them properly, that will be a weakness on our side. So this way, Kundidevi said to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And at that time, Subhadra asked Krishna. Subhadra was there, ready to meet all her sisters, isn't it? Krishna's wives. Subhadra Devi didn't have an opportunity to see all of them. In the Bhagavatam, if you look at this time, there are so many interesting scenes there. Subhadra Devi wants to go and meet all the sisters. So Krishna is saying to Subhadra that you have been always complaining to me that I am not bringing them here. Now I brought all of them. Make sure that all of them are happy. If you don't do that, I'll hold on to your ears. Krishna threatened Subhadra at that time. But Subhadra, after walking a little distance, comes back and says to Krishna, I don't know all of their names, he says. Because who can remember 16,108 names? Can you imagine? Remembering 16,108. Why to 16,108? Even the major eight ones, can you remember all of them? Some people even find that difficult. The eight major wives, starting with Rukmini. So even that was, but of course Subhadra remembered that eight. But the 16,100 was difficult for Subhadra also. So when Subhadra was going, Subhadra says to Krishna that if you can come back with me, because I don't remember their names, how shall I welcome somebody when you don't know the person's name? What shall I say to them? Krishna says, I also don't know their names. This was Krishna's answer. In the Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami has explicitly mentioned this. Krishna says, I also don't know their names. One word he used, Anyamscha. Anyamscha means the rest of them. That's it. The eight and the rest of them, he says. So Krishna is also expressed in the same way. All the other words also will be there. You can receive them, he says. Subhadra goes. At that time, Draupadi says to Krishna, Draupadi says that Draupadi was getting nervous. Actually, it is a duty of Draupadi to welcome them, because Draupadi is the queen there, isn't it? Dharmavutra's Yudhishthira Maharaj's wife. So as a wife, on a same level, King's Krishna's wives, they had to be welcomed. So Draupadi had to go to welcome them. Now, can you imagine, if you have to welcome 16,108 wives, and if you shake hands with each one of them once, by evening, what will happen to Draupadi's hand? She should be ready to get the ambulance, isn't it? It's clear, isn't it? Nobody can do that, is there? I mean, 8 or 10 shake hands is enough. By then, it will start here. This part of the body, hands, will show its strength. So, Draupadi knew that 16,108 wives she has to receive. And who knew this? More than Draupadi, Krishna knew this. And Krishna does not like Draupadi in trouble. In several instances in Mahabharatam, you will find this. Whenever Draupadi is in trouble, before that Krishna is there. Yatvara Draupadi Drane, Yatvara Gajarakshane, Mayatve Karunamurte, Satvara Kugadahare. Krishna is addressed by one devotee like this. You had the greatest urgency to rescue one person in this world, that was Draupadi. When Dushasana tried to disrobe Draupadi, who helped Draupadi? Krishna helped Draupadi. When Durvasav Maharshi came to the ashram and asked for food, and when that could not be offered, who helped Draupadi? Krishna helped Draupadi. When all the children were killed in the battle, and when Draupadi was in greatest danger after the war, Mahabharata war, who helped protected Draupadi? Krishna protected Draupadi. So you will see, in every instance, Draupadi was protected by Krishna all the way through. That is why it said, in certain times you will see how swift Krishna is reacting to situation. Especially in case of Draupadi. Similarly, in the case of that Gajendra story in the 8th canto. That is why it said like that, Ya Tvara Draupadi Trane. When Draupadi was in an emergency, you were there on the spot to rescue her. Ya Tvara Gajarakshane. When Indradyumna, the king, who got that elephant's body, and he was in danger at the last minute when he was sinking in the water, and this crocodile was holding on to his leg and pulling him down thousands of years. Sahasra Samabhashada says in the Bhagavatam, thousands of years they were fighting each other. And at the last minute, Indradyumna, the king, realized that he has lost the battle. Prior to going down in the water, this is the famous story of Gajendra Moksham, story in the Bhagavatam. That prior to going down in the water, he decided to offer the last flower to Krishna. So he took that flower and offered to Krishna, Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. So that last offering he made, and at that time Krishna was there. And lifted with the left hand the whole elephant up, and with the disc in the hand cut the throat of the crocodile and saved the elephant. So you can imagine at that time, Krishna took a form to lift the elephant. It is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as very famous form Krishna has taken. Yatvara Draupadi Trane, Yatvara Gajarakshane, Mayatve Karunamurte, Satvara Kugadahare. One Brahmana prayed to Krishna in a crisis like this. When his life was lost, when he was in a serious crisis, he asked Krishna, to recite these words, it takes 12 seconds. That's normally the time calculated. So in 12 seconds, he repeated these words and he was rescued. Yatvara Gajarakshane, Mayatve Karunamurte, Satvara Kugadahare. He asked Krishna, you showed such an urgency to rescue Draupadi in her crisis. You showed such an urgency to rescue the elephant Indradyumna in a crisis like that. Where have you gone when I am in trouble? He asked Krishna this question. That's a long story. We'll go back to that later. In the Agadasham it comes much later. So, this is Krishna's way of functioning. So, Krishna was resting in the palace, in Yudhishthira Maharaj's palace. at that the personality there, he didn't like Draupadi suffering. So what did he do? Immediately Krishna decided that all his wives were getting down from the chariot. There was one Draupadi waiting there to receive them all. There was one Draupadi always ready to welcome them and shake the hands. So our Yudhishthira Maharaj's Draupadi did not have any trouble. This Draupadi, expansions of Draupadi, who as Krishna has come, Krishna has expanded like Draupadi there and was receiving their own wives into the palace. How did they find that out? That's also interesting. When they were shaking hands, they felt that this hand looks very familiar. Because the wives realized that the hand sounds looked very familiar, the touch of the hand. And they started thinking, why is it they all look very familiar? All of them started talking to each other like this. Poor Draupadi was saved from a disaster. Otherwise, what will Draupadi do? 16,108, even if you shake hands once, that's enough, isn't it? So that is how they were brought into the palace that day. And now there is, this is the beginning of, Rajasuyam is not arrived yet. This is just the beginning of the story. We have to stop there because from now on, it is the, is it instincts, what is in relationship with Rajasuyam. It develops further from there. Rajasuyam, if you can read that in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Krishna book particularly, Srila Prabhupada has explained it as best as possible in English. But because it is such a big topic, and in the Mahabharatam also, if you want to read it, you can find there also. In the original Mahabharatam, you'll find Rajasuyam, one of the greatest sacrifices ever performed. And there are so many interesting aspects of Rajasuyam, which was actually done by Krishna himself, not by Yudhishthira Maharaj. But Yudhishthira was picked for this because he is a devotee. So that was Yudhishthira Maharaj's great fortune, good fortune, what he got opportunity to do. So from now, we will continue discussion of this Rajasuyam in the next class. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.